Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
I don't know about all of you guys, but I think Joe Biden's not going to be running for president in 2024. You got a New York Times article saying he shouldn't run and he should tell everyone he's not running. You've got vultures circling his withered, decaying body. All these prominent individuals in the Democratic Party are being lined up. Even CNN's running an article saying the 11 Democrats who could replace Joe Biden. The media knows it. It's time to admit it. Joe Biden is not going to make it to the end of a second term. He'd be 86, I think, is what they say in the New York Times. 86 years old. And now we have this. Joe Biden goes to Kentucky because of the disaster, and people are yelling at him, "Let's go, Brandon." They don't like this guy. People don't like this guy. Now, look, I get it. 60-some-odd percent of Democrats want him to run again. Only 60%. Independent voters mostly don't. Republicans obviously don't. But he can't even get more than 60% of his own party. Dude's out. So we'll definitely talk about this. We're going to talk about what's going on with New York City banning gas buildings. Mm-hmm. So they're switching to all electricity. And now there's speculation that's going to result in rolling blackouts. But I guess that's what happens when you have Democrat leadership in New York unrestrained, shutting down free speech, shutting down people's livelihoods. Nobody cares. I mean, people fled, I guess. But now that you've just given the despots full control of the city, and I can't blame people for leaving. Joining us to talk about all of this is Alicia Cross. Did I say it? Krauss.
Totally wrong.
I did the wrong one. I asked it beforehand.
It's my bad, though, because everybody always biffs my name. And I was like, oh, it's Alicia Cross, not Alicia Cross. And then I think that was right before.
Oh, and I went. I did the other wrong one.
And you did the wrong one because I spoke Krauss. It into being. Right. And then it was stuck in your head. So I'm sorry about that.
Yep. It's your fault that I said it wrong. Not my fault. Don't look at me.
If Tim's going to say it wrong, I'm definitely going to say it wrong. And it's not on purpose. It's not my fault.
You can call me E. Yeah, Krauss. My husband calls me Elish.
Oh, that's cute.
Elisha?
No, we had this conversation.
I know.
So I don't know if he was just pulling my leg, but when Ben and I did a morning show together, he informed me that I have a Jewish dude's name. And my parents are like, we're non-denominational. And I, like, you think that it's Elijah and Elijah in the Bible. And Ben was like, no, it's Elijah and Elisha.
And I literally just asked you, I was like, Krauss, right? And then you were like, yeah. And then I think you said, what do you say? Alicia Cross. And
I said, don't say Cross.
And then I did. Perfect. I did it. So who are you? What do you do?
Who am I? What do I do? I'm a out of work homeschool mom.
Oh, nice.
I live in Los Angeles, conservative commentator. Hey, at least it's sunny.
Like, that's true.
It's dictatorial, but the weather's nice. And, and I'm a political geek that's been doing this stuff in this world since I was 18. I'm a grandma millennial. I'm 35. Ooh. And, I'm here in DC, area co-hosting at Newsmax this week. So that's been fun.
Cool. Right on. Well, thanks for coming. What am I to talk about?
Well, thanks for having me as well. My name is Luke Radowski, and I think New Hampshire is one of the best, freest places in the world next to Chiron, Mexico. And that's why, hey, I made this t-shirt that says Make America New Hampshire, which you could get exclusively on thebestpoliticalshirts.com. And because you do, I'm here. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with someone's name that sounds like a Jewish dude. Thanks so much for coming.
Yeah. Hey, Ian Crossland here from iancrossland.net. Happy to be here. Glad you guys are here. Thanks for coming.
I'm excited to be here as well, pushing buttons in the corner as I do, and I love my lady guests as always. I'm excited for tonight as well.
Yeah, we got to balance out all the testosterone in this room.
Seriously, it's a struggle.
Yeah, Luke's preparing a fight club or something.
I am. Yeah, yeah. We got professional kickboxer trainers in the house. So
like a real
fight club, like legit a fight club.
Tonight?
Professional.
Tomorrow.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know that I can do that in my heels.
But I want to stress, like actual trained people are coming to do a class and like teach people, right? Is that what it is?
I mean, if you're going to have a fight club, the first rule is we can't talk about fight clubs.
All right. All right, let's just get into the news then, because I've already revealed too much. Before we get started, my friends, go to timcast.com, become a member, and help support our fierce and independent journalism. As a member, you get access to our members-only segment. We got a ton of segments from the Timcast IRL podcast that are exclusive, available only on the website, timcast.com, and you can watch all of them as a member. So please help support our work, because all of this, everything we do, is funded by you guys becoming members on the website. We're hiring more people. We're launching new shows. We're going to go see Spider-Man tomorrow in the first showing, which means I got to work double time, mainly because I want to see Spider-Man. I'm super excited for it.
Oh, my. Your job's so hard. You have to go watch Spider-Man.
Well, it means I have to work like twice as much in the morning to make sure I can get there on time, because we're doing an early showing so I can make it back for the IRL show.
I'm still eye-rolling at you saying, oh, that's
But it's because we have a new show. We have a pop culture show. And
that's
so
fun.
We want to make sure that the hosts of our show are you know,
dang it,
know what's going on.
I wish we had talked. Like, I would be totally fine with bashing Ben Affleck today if y'all wanted to go down that
route. Oh, hey, maybe we'll get there. But anyway, as a member, you're helping support all the new shows we're doing. And that's one of the things we have to do. So, you know, we're willing to do the hard work of going to see Spider-Man tomorrow, because work has to be done. But we do the show, and we're all supported by you. So don't forget to become a member. But smash the like button right now. Subscribe to this channel, Timcast IRL on YouTube. Share the show with your friends. And let's jump in to this first story, literally right here, that we have right up. People shout, "Let's go, Brandon," during Joe Biden's visit to Kentucky. And there's a picture of Joe Brandon. I was going to say Joe Brandon. Joe Brandon.
Sorry, we just made you mess up on all the news.
Yeah,
tonight.
I can't do
it's
it.
Like once Train you've wreck. Done one wrong, you're just going to read that it's fine.
Why are you Radowskiing so much, Tim?
I don't know.
What's going on out here?
Maybe I just haven't had enough, sugar or something.
Yeah.
I've got zero sugar today.
Yeah.
All right. President Joe Biden was met with shouts of "Let's go, Brandon," and a Trump flag as he arrived in Kentucky on Wednesday to survey damage from a tornado that killed at least 88 people. We know what "Let's go, Brandon" means, so they got videos and photos. Two "Let's go, Brandons" from the crowd as Biden gets out. After arriving in the state, Biden tweeted, "I'm in Kentucky to meet with local leaders and to survey the damage from the tornadoes and extreme weather. It will take all of us working together to recover and begin rebuilding, and we are committed to providing whatever support is needed for however long it takes." Earlier in the day, Biden spoke with Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear and was briefed on the damage while in Mayfield. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was also present. And that's basically it. That's the gist of the story. But I think this is an important story.
Yeah, I feel like under the years of the former president, even like I go back to, I'm a political nerd, so even back to like when Romney was running or McCain was running or when George W. Bush was in the White House, I remember living on 34th Street in New York City and 500,000 people were like burning his effigies, right? Yeah. And it was like a news story of look how mad they are at the Republican in office and like protesters, free speech, yay. But it's also one-sided. Like here's two dudes, which, you know, two dudes ain't that many. I feel like most of the people in Kentucky are probably legitimately mourning and worried about their homes and their neighbors and the businesses in the area and what are they going to do with the rest of their lives. And their priority isn't to go out there and yell, "Let's go, Brandon." But kudos to the guys who did it, and they have a right to do that. And so, but you're not going to get coverage of this anywhere else because heaven forbid people who are against Joe Biden express their, you know, viewpoints.
I think they have a right to say it. I think it's important that people speak up, especially in the face of Joe Biden. I think that's what makes America great. The fact that Joe Biden can come down and you can yell, "Let's go, Brandon," is what's awesome about this country.
For sure.
It part of me is, though, like, man, I wish we could kind of just get, like, we have a major disaster here. 88 people died.
Yeah.
But Joe Biden is just, he's burning this country to the ground. And I'm not going to blame him for the natural disaster. But so many people are suffering in this country because of his failed leadership. For someone to get that opportunity to be like, "I am going to criticize you over everything we're dealing
with." Well, and if you look
you got to do it.
Even NPR, I think I was listening to NPR earlier today, and they were talking about how this area was already hard hit by the economy. And then you have a tornado that comes through and levels the entire town. So there is.
And this guy's going to do a photo op.
And he's, and that, so I get the frustration of local people that are like, okay, now you're coming. Now you're pretending to do something. Now you're going to send us funds. Now you're pretending to care when we've lost our factory jobs and we've done all this stuff and like this quote unquote return to normal that you promised hasn't happened.
Well, middle America has been, I think, most screwed over by the establishment, whether it was the opioid epidemic, whether it's even gas prices going up. Yeah. This predominantly affects people in rural areas like Kentucky, where they have to drive around. They spend more on gas. They spend more on energy and utilities. But this is not a rare occurrence. I still remember at the end of the Bush presidency, there was also an incident where he was out there surveying some kind of environmental damage, and then people came up and screamed, F you, Bush. Mm-hmm. They also did it to Dick Cheney, but his poll numbers are extremely down, and I think the few people who are supporting him are some cartel members, the Taliban, and a few billionaires that really make up the few percentage points of support that he gets.
And China.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of Xi Jinping,
good big fan. Mm-hmm. Taking advantage right now. He's meeting with Putin, and they're basically joining together because Biden is you know what?
Sitting on his hands?
Well, I don't want war in Ukraine. I don't want war in Afghanistan. But Joe Biden, wow, did he screw up Afghanistan? And that's really when his poll numbers took a huge hit, because he is a failed leader. I think with a lot of stuff, especially inflation, the reason people are mad at the establishment altogether.
Yeah.
A lot of people are in these cities and they can't see it. They don't understand. When the prices go up a little bit, they're not thinking about it. Mm-mm. And it's incremental. If every day you wake up, they add a nickel or whatever to the food, it's going to take you a little while to be like, hey, wait a minute. Why is the milk costing so much? But when you get news story like people are screaming and dying and a bomb went off in Afghanistan and the withdrawal was a huge disaster, all of a sudden, people, there's something tangible they can see there.
I got to say, though, I think for average Americans outside the Beltway, outside, you know, these liberal meccas where everybody's making $250,000 a year and they're like STEM jobs, right? That you have people like me that I go to the grocery store every week with my kids. And that does affect us. Fuel prices do affect us. My parents live 30 miles from the closest grocery store. You have people watching right now that, you know, have to commute maybe 50 miles to work one day, one way. And so those things, even though it is like incremental, they still feel that when they look at their paycheck and they're like, well, that $1,000 ain't going to go as far this week. And I think that that angst can continue into the midterms, but I don't know. Voters have short-term memory, and obviously his ratings are not good. His polling numbers are not too hot, and I don't blame him.
Abysmal.
They're
absolutely abysmal.
So bad. But I think that there's an element of, most of the time people vote with what affects them, like in that moment. Voting is an emotional appeal, and typically liberals tend to do a better job at telling the story. But the story that they're telling, the story that they're showing, and the story that they're governing right now is a total crap show. And I think it's going to really hurt him next year.
What I think is absolutely crazy is that Biden's approval rating was as high as it was for as long as it was, especially compared to Trump. When we got Donald Trump in office, the economy started doing better. Mm-hmm. In 2019, I heard over and over again how good the economy was from news reports, from individuals. When we were buying furniture for the first studio we built, the furniture sales lady was just like, 2019 was the greatest year of my life. Hmm. I can't believe how much money I made. I'm so happy. The guy who was doing the foundation work as we were expanding outside, he was like, business is booming. And that was January of 2020.
Yep.
And then what happened? Yeah. But take a look. What's really fascinating, we have this Joe Biden's Real Clear Politics poll average. It's right around, it's Afghanistan, where he really got slammed.
Yep.
And that's why it's fascinating to me that it was literally screwing up getting out of Afghanistan where things started to flip. And I think what may have happened is that moment was a big slap in the face to a lot of people who are content to be like, Trump is gone. Everything's fine now. And then all of a sudden they were like, a bomb just went off and killed a bunch of people outside of the airport.
Yep.
And Bagram Air Force Base was abandoned.
And I think left, right, or center, even like you said, okay, I didn't want to be in war in Afghanistan. You don't want to abandon our own people. And there is, thank God, this beauty to America and our citizens that whether you look like me or vote like me, I'm still not going to like abandon you in another country. And I'm not going to leave you to die. And I think that there has been this element of your commander in chief does not leave you behind. There's, you know, all of the situations like Reagan with the Iran hostages, you know, other situations of even Obama who paid to get some people out of Iran, that like we don't leave our guys behind. We don't leave our people behind. And it was a wake up call. And I think very shocking to a lot of Americans, like, holy, wait, what? This just happened and nobody's going to do anything about it and they're just pretending like it's no big deal?
I was surprised the moment people didn't wake up was Truman and Anna Shabbat of Pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the mainstream media pretty much got him into office. They're supporting him throughout the way. But now that you see the cracks in the facade that they kind of painted of him as this kind of Trump savior, he's not a Trump savior. What happened in Afghanistan was an absolute geopolitical failure that, of course, gave billions of dollars of weaponry to the Taliban. And the retaliation against the attack on the base was literally killing 10 innocent civilians, 7 of them children, U.S. aid workers that were providing water. And just recently, as of a few hours ago, the Pentagon announced that they will be holding no one responsible for the butcher and assassination of innocent civilians in Afghanistan that the media and the Pentagon were telling us was ISIS-K members that were going to launch a preemptive strike on the embassy. That wasn't true. They were lying through their teeth. And this is one reason why, again, Biden, totally out of touch with reality. He had to have a PR campaign disinformation group to meeting with the corporate media in order to paint a positive picture on the economy. And today he even issued a statement saying, what's the big deal when talking about giving up freedoms in exchange for, of course, the vaccine mandates? Totally out of touch, totally totalitarian. To me, he's a puppet that many special interests are using to push very unpopular policies on the American people.
Did he get a come on man in there when he said to give up your freedoms?
Nope.
He actually spoke
clearly. He actually made coherent sentences, and he was like, "You know, what's the big deal, guys?
The more dictatorial he is, the clearer he speaks." I'm old enough to remember. My background has been talk radio, and I produced the Hannity radio show for 7 years. And I remember there was a time where it was like Hugh Hewitt, might have been Dennis Prager, Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, like the OGs of conservative right radio, met with George W. Bush in his second term. And it might have been a time when his poll numbers were down. And there was like all of these mainstream media reports once the meeting was leaked of, oh, look, White House conspires with far right media, and like try to boost the president's poll numbers. But yet you have, like you said, not just, you know, the Young Turks and like crazy leftist organizations that claim to be unbiased media outlets, going and talking to people in the White House communications team. You have members of the mainstream media outlets that pretend to be fair and balanced journalists that are doing this, and like, where is the outrage? I think the double standard is what really gets to me.
There's two things I'll add. First is there was a CNN producer who was arrested for trafficking kids, and Brian Stelter's on Twitter like, why won't the Fox hosts talk about the text messages? And it's like, they did. Well, it was 24 hours later, and it's like, when are you going to talk about the
Chris
producer?
Cuomo? Yeah.
Chris Cuomo.
And your producer?
The producer who worked with Chris Cuomo.
Or even the CIA scandal where they caught their own agents doing some of those same similar actions. But MSNBC, ABC News, CBS, NBC all ignored this major CNN producer stuff.
But I got to add one more thing, too, about what happened in Afghanistan. I'll tell you where I think I wish more Americans would give Biden a lower rating is when he – what did he do? He issued a drone strike which killed 10 civilians. Was it 10?
10 civilians, 7 children, and it was an aid worker that was providing clean water to the Afghani people.
And how many of the – is anybody involved going to be, I don't know, maybe indicted, go to prison or
anything? The Pentagon just announced no one will be held responsible for this action.
Yep.
So Joe Biden, following his predecessor, Barack Obama, kills children. Now, I'm not going to give Trump an escape on this one. The difference is with Barack Obama, we know definitively that he killed Abdulrahman al-Awlaki in a drone strike in Yemen. We know definitively that Joe Biden's administration, they issued this drone strike. When it comes to Donald Trump and the death of Abdulrahman's little sister, this was a commando raid in Yemen. It's speculated that she died. So it's still bad. And I don't want to give Trump any free passes on his drone strikes or his commando raids and the stuff he did. But I'm also going to say Donald Trump also moved to withdraw from Afghanistan and Syria and didn't start any new wars. And I'll take what I can get. Criticism where criticism is due, praise where praise is due. Joe Biden, I knew this was going to happen. You get him in office and he was going to restart the war machine the same we saw it in the years prior.
Well, and I think that we all kind of expected that in 2016 had it been Hillary Clinton who won. And I think that that's why you saw people, specifically like those Rust Belt people, where Hillary didn't spend any money, decided to vote for Trump because it was a breath of fresh air and people were war weary. Now, as someone who knows and loves many members of the military, I don't know the details of that commando thing. And I've never been on the ground with a gun to my head and having to kill bad guys. And unfortunately, there is a cost benefit analysis to every single decision that you make as commander in chief, right? Yep. Like if you actually, it is kind of fascinating to go back and look at the Obama decision to go get in bin Laden and how the guys in the room all had different percentages of what they thought the likelihood of one, bin Laden actually being there. And then two, it being like a no fault operation. And that risk is extremely high and that's part of their job. But yeah, I do appreciate the consistency that you have there. It's just also, once again,
yeah,
the media would be blowing up everything had an aid worker been killed in a drone strike by Donald Trump.
But just really quick, there wasn't a lot of consistency with the official story of what Obama did to Osama. And then the raid that Donald Trump committed that allegedly killed Anawaki's sister was literally the raid that Obama didn't want to do, but Donald Trump personally called off on, and there was civilian casualties, according to many independent reports.
I'll say this, though. That was really early in Trump's administration. Trump switched to getting American personnel out and upping drone strikes. I'm not a big fan of that necessarily, but I suppose it's like, what do you do, right? You say, we don't want ground conflict, so to secure certain areas, you need drones. Donald Trump tried getting us out of Syria, and he was lied to by whatever you want to call these people, you know, the bureaucratic state. How about that? The administrative state. They lied to the American people and to Donald Trump to make sure that we kept troops in Syria when he and the American people don't want these wars. So I will give him credit for that. And I will say this. Speaking of Hillary Clinton.
we're just really quick. Also, I wanted to add that Donald Trump made sure that the list of people that were assassinated by the drone strikes was kept secret away from the general public. Obama, at least, executed people, kept the list. Trump, let's be honest with you, Hillary. But Trump also took away the decision for him personally calling off on these assassinations and gave it to the Pentagon as well. So I think that's an important factor to understand here. And I wish he would have pulled troops out correctly out of Afghanistan, but
he
didn't.
You mean like you want the transparency of it?
Yes, exactly. And reporting. Like, if you're going to kill a 15-year-old American citizen, which Obama did, and his spokesperson told me and We Are Change reporters that they should have had a better father, at least be open and transparent about it.
That was massive. That was back, what, 2012?
Yep. That was during the presidential election.
Luke was on the ground during the election campaign, and you went up to, I think, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and, who was it, Charlie Gibbs?
Yes. Charlie Gibbs and Obama's chief of staff and spokesperson. And I asked him exactly, why did your administration personally call off on the assassination of a 15-year-old American citizen? Signed off on the assassination of a 15-year-old American citizen. And the response I got by Mr. Gibbs was he should have had a better father.
This was an American
citizen.
How did
I forget that story?
Yeah.
Like,
crazy.
That's like in my...
But that's not just Obama. You know, of course he was the president, but that's Biden too. Biden was very deeply involved in the Iraq operation.
Oh, he likes to. It's funny how, remember, Bin Laden's dead, Detroit's alive. I don't know. You been to Detroit lately? Like, he very much liked to marry himself to all of the wins of the Obama administration. I think mainly to appeal to black voters, and not marry himself to any of the failures of the Obama administration, of which there are many.
Well, this has been an abysmal administration, and it's not even been a full year. So we're getting this. Check this out. We're already getting rumors that Joe Biden is not going to be running in 2024. So who do you think it might be? Could it be Hillary Clinton?
No.
The Daily Mail reports Clinton's belief that the presidency is her birthright and deep unpopularity of Biden and Harris could see the former first lady run in 2024, Politics Insider warns, I do not disagree. I don't know if I believe she would, because she is deeply unpopular herself. But she came out recently and she was like, here's the speech I would have given if I won.
Could you just give me a second to rant about that, by the way? Sure. When on God's green earth has anyone lost as much as Hillary Clinton and been given so much time to talk about all the things that she wanted to do or would have done had she won? Like, Democrats in general fail up, like Pete Buttigieg, anybody? Mm. But I am just fascinated by the fact that we keep giving this, like, what was she on, the Today Show or something? Like, it was a legitimate mainstream media show with millions of viewers where, like, she's given a primetime A-block slot to talk about, here's the speech I would have given. Okay, the speech I would have given had I been born Gisele Bundchen. Had I been...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I gotten an Oscar, here's the speech I would have given.
Isn't she doing a master class or something?
Yeah. Yes.
Selling it.
On losing?
Right now, my favorite joke I saw was, someone said, what's the master class going to be? Pointing out Wisconsin on a map?
Oh, yikes.
Or that's the one she would need,
standing
I suppose.
By your man?
Yikes. Having great relationships? Winning elections?
Well, now let's be real. Those are things she was all really bad at. But she could.
But the media pretends that she is good at all of those things. Like, they give her the opportunity to give that dumb speech.
But I gotta give her...
Because they feel like she should have given that speech, and they also are signed on to it being her birthright.
Okay, yes. But As much as many people don't like Hillary Clinton, and I'm not a fan, I think we absolutely need to recognize what she is really, really good at, the things she's done really well, like running the Clinton Foundation while she was running the State Department,
right,
and taking donations from foreign governments to large sums. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, when she was no longer a contender for the presidency or in the White House, those donations started to dry up.
I got
really
another
good.
One. I got another one. I got another one. I just got one really quick one. Making sure that her husband goes on the Epstein's Island. Yeah. He's very good at that.
By the way, the Maxwell trial, I follow all the conspiracy theorists on the gram about that. But, she's also really good at just signing on Hollywood money and Hollywood celebrities and going and partying and stuff.
She's great being connected to Harvey Weinstein as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
Yeah.
Well, that's all Democrats.
She knows how to pick them.
Did you see that? You saw the video of her crying, right? It was the weirdest not cry, like fake crying. I'm sorry. They came out and, you know, everyone ragged on Kyle Rittenhouse saying crocodile tears.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the dude's having a panic attack, if anything. But like,
that was PTSD. That kid needs to be, I will say this.
He's getting therapy.
Thank you. Because the mom in me is like, stop doing interviews, start doing therapy.
Right.
He is. That was in the trial.
Because you are young and in 10 years.
It's going to hit you.
You need to.
Oh, yeah.
Take a beat.
I feel like someone should have told that to Hillary when she was much younger.
Yeah.
Because something is wrong with her. Something from a very young age.
So did your mom ever tell you, like, Tim, you can be whatever you want to be. Yeah. Like, there's moms, like, they are unconditional. They're amazing. They encourage you. So did my mom. She's probably watching right now. Hey, Mom. And like, Elisha, you can be anything you want to be. But it's like, did Hillary's mom do that to the nth degree?
Yeah, too much.
Like, just too much? Like, was it weirdly indoctrinated? Like, did she have goggles on that it was, like, fed to her, like, in Zoolander? Like, this is what you will do. This is what you will do. And that's why she legitimately thinks it's her birthright.
I don't think so. Probably brainwashed her to think she's the one.
The reason I don't think so is because her mom has a goat's head and is, hoven feet and claws and, created her out of a pentagram and summoned her from the depths. And probably just, intent was inherent within the demonic presence.
Uh-huh.
You know
what
I
mean? Yeah,
I was going to say something similar, MK Ultra. I think that's also a possibility here. But who knows?
Oh,
but
it's
but,
her time.
Exactly.
She's just an insane person. Mm. She's a sociopath.
Narcissistic.
And, yes.
Yeah.
Ego, narcissism.
I think actually left, right, or center. I think in order to be, and honestly, I think most people in our industry, so politicians and anybody on a microphone, is typically narcissistic.
She's on record celebrating death and murder and torture. She's like, yeah, that was great.
Remember when she said she wanted to drone Julian Assange? Can't we just drone this guy? And then she was like, it was a joke, I swear.
But when McCain said bomb, 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 Iran, like, in a Q&A in 2008, people were like, what? Warmonger, neocon.
So is it,
you
think Hillary's going to run? She's gonna run. I don't know. I kind of would be excited for it.
The Hill,
because
she
would lose miserably.
Trump would just win again.
I think
there's gonna be a glitch in the matrix where we wake up, and as soon as election season starts, we're back in 2016. We don't know what happened, and it's Hillary versus Trump again. Like, it's like, what?
No, it's Ian waking up, and he was like coming out of a DMT trip.
I remember the moment I woke up and saw Trump won, and I felt like the wind was knocked out of me. I was like, what is happening?
Like, what did I drink?
Yeah, for sure, it was like totally.
I was in Times Square, and you could hear a pin drop, and all the people that went there to celebrate were all quiet. There was like five Trump supporters, and you could see five guys like, and everyone's just giving them the stink eye. Filming it, like, this is absolutely crazy and incredible at the same time.
Was it the crying meme, like the crazy crying meme
filled with people
life?
In Times Square, like people shocked, jaws on the floor, walking around aimlessly, lost like zombies, not knowing what just hit them, and they're watching all the news like, what? In total, it was something to experience.
It's a night I will never forget. When I watched the New York Times like probability meter, it said like,
and it just great, like
greater than 99% chance Hillary Clinton, and then it slowly went down. I remember when it hit 50%, and I was laughing. I was in the Sputnik office, and everyone there was people were starting to cry because they were all Democrats, and then it shifts, and then I remember when it was like Trump cannot lose at this point. Cassandra Fairbanks is there. She's laughing. She went from crying to laughing to crying again because she was like sad crying and then like
in the denial. I do have to say, so I'm a home birth hippie, and I like went to this. Unfortunately, COVID closed down my liberal friend's yoga studio, and it was like women only. So I really liked it because I feel like we were doing yoga in front of dudes. And there were a lot of women in like the full women health yoga class like the next day that were like, I'm just here for the peace
And I did all of my essential oils on all of my touch points.
Chunk Uger freaking out like, during his live stream.
It was hilarious.
It was crazy.
I'm just sitting there like, guys, okay. They're like, Alicia, what's stressing you today? And I'm like, oh, you guys?
What I find funny, too, is like my response to the election with Joe Biden was I was like, there it is. The count is in. Joe Biden, you know, is projected to be the winner. And then they got mad at me for that. Like the liberals were like, haha, you're a loser. And I'm like, I just was like, yeah, he won. I don't know.
You stated truth. I mean, truth that they denied.
Trump supporters got mad at me, you know, when I said that. But I'm just like, it is what it is. I don't know. What am I supposed to do about it? And they were like, haha, you're a loser. You voted for Trump and you lost. And I was like, yeah.
It's also, I do have to say, and I was reading something the other day as a mom, and I think like it's good for society in general. Like we have to learn how to lose. Like, you have to be a good, you have to be decent at losing to understand the importance of winning. And I think that if you don't learn that, like, Hillary didn't.
Yeah. Shut up. Like, dude, just shut
you
up,
have
lady.
To, it is, you're not it's being dignity. Graceful and you're not being dignified and you're not doing the country any good. But if you want to run for president of the United States, you're allegedly supposed to care about country first. It's clearly not about country first with her.
But it's going to be okay because a lot of women are going to learn how to lose at sports, in sports, especially our
throughout
the United States.
Because of our fellow women.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's crazy to me. It's been 6.5 years since I'm like sitting there watching Hillary Clinton announcing she's going to run. And then the 2016 election cycle when she's debating Trump was one of the funniest things ever. Because you'd be in jail. It's just like, man, mic drop moments. People are cheering. They're treating it like WWE.
The debates were definitely more entertaining. I used all the GIFs in my tweets from the debates.
The debates
it was like so fun.
Are never fun or funny. But Donald Trump, he brought that. And
so I actually had this conversation the other day with somebody. Trump also brought, I think, like, the cable newsification to politics. Mm-hmm. Like, I've often said that the Trump family is like the royals meet the Kardashians. Because like that is the kind of cultural phenomenon that they are, and that he kind of had a thing. Like, they had hair and makeup people in the White House for anyone in their administration that went on camera. He kind of got that the visual and the story, it mattered. And that's why Hollywood is all about leftism for a few other things too. But because it's like they are turned to and have been turned to for decades to create the narrative and to create the story to help Democrats win. And Republicans have often failed at like the emotion and the story of things.
Well, this is something that Andrew Klavan talks a lot about. He talks about how conservatives are so bad at turning the story in their favor. We don't understand the importance of the arts. Mm-hmm. We don't understand the importance of movies or books or anything like that. And that's part of the reason that we're losing the culture wars. It's something that the left has such a grasp on. I don't know why we're so bad at it, but we're terrible.
I think that for a really long time, we have fled because we thought that we couldn't win there, so then we flee. I mean, we see it happening now with COVID, right?
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
That people just, they run away. They go to the ease of things instead of like putting down roots and fighting and being the odd man out.
Yeah. Trump, a lot of people think Trump's going to run, right?
Yeah.
We know, we've even talked to Steve Bannon's like, he's running, it's going to happen, and some of his former administration. And I certainly think so. He's been rallying. He's been losing weight, I guess.
Yeah, he looks
But
great.
I mean, he's going to be up there too. I mean, he's going to be as old as Joe Biden was when Joe Biden ran. So he'll be like the second oldest president ever.
And he did have that line against Biden about how Biden was too old and but
is that anymore?
Trump is spry. You know?
Yeah, I've heard that about him.
Yeah.
One criticism that I'm seeing a lot of him, especially when he goes on Fox News, is that he's actually supporting Big Pharma more than his supporters. I've seen a lot of criticism of him, especially with a lot of the mandates and that he criticizes a little bit, but he still promotes overall.
Well, he considered a mandate. I thought early in COVID, he was like, oh yeah, well, we should have like a incentive and we should make sure that everybody gets the vaccine.
Yeah. There's also a lot of criticism from his base, of people saying that he just didn't stand up for his supporters, for his people, and that, there's a huge kind of disconnect between a lot of people who are not really satisfied with that administration as well. That needs to be brought up.
I think that the number one, I don't know. I look at 2024 and I'm like, let's just run DeSantis. Then we can have a really fun, like, lottery of who we gonna choose for VP, and then just, like, destroy any of the, what was it, 11 different Democrats? And all of the Democrats that the mainstream media is floating, all of the names are awful. And they're all losers. Once again, Democrats fail up.
None of these people have the it factor.
Who Amy Klobuchar?
Okay.
DeSantis has a lot of good energy behind him, though.
He does.
Yes. And so I'm just saying, like, I would love it if people, like, any other, Republican that's thinking of running, anybody, like, Abbott, anybody else under the sun, just, I love you guys, you're great, keep governing well in your states, let's just give it to DeSantis, and then we can have one of you great people as VP, and then we can destroy any of these idiots on this list.
I think DeSantis is the better option. Mm. Although he is more of a traditional Republican in a lot of ways.
Yes. Yes.
So for me, you know, we'll see. It really is depending. It's going to be about what's in the forefront of his administration. And I'm still kind of skeptical. Trump, I didn't vote for the first time.
Same.
After seeing what he was doing, I was like, this guy's a bull in a china shop. And
yeah.
He's saying no to the establishment. DeSantis, however, I think has proven himself, especially with COVID. So mm-hmm. If he were to run.
I gotta say too, I'm really impressed with a lot of these AGs on the state level.
Yeah.
Like, good. A lot of these attorney generals, like in Oklahoma, for example, they're kind of like, oh, you can't mandate our National Guard to have the jab because turns out we're in charge of the National Guard, not the DOD. So mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, let's,
I'm pretty impressed with a lot of these like AGs on some state levels, and maybe they'll end up in the Senate or something one day. That'd be nice.
Let's talk about what Ron DeSantis is doing. And one of the things that I would really, really support him over, and this is from the Washington Post, DeSantis invokes MLK as he proposes Stop Woke Act against critical race theory.
Oh.
I'm a fan. They say, as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was introducing proposed legislation that would allow parents to sue schools teaching critical race theory in the classroom, he invoked the words of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., that's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., to try and make his point about the Stop Woke Act and the escalating conflict over the teaching of race. You see how they do that? Teaching of race. Yeah, okay. Nice try. Quote, you think about what MLK stood for. He said he didn't want people judged on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character.
Yep.
DeSantis said, you listen to some of these people nowadays, they don't talk about that. So I tell you this. The one thing I always ask my liberal friends, mm-hmm. I say something very, very simple to them. I say, do you support the message of Dr. King?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll say, what about segregating these classrooms on the basis of race is in line with judging people on the content of their character, not the color of their skin?
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, there's a cognitive dissonance. They get angry because they're very tribalist.
Well, because it's not fair. It's like the instant reaction.
Well, they say colorblind society is wrong. And I'm like, so you don't agree with Dr. King. What Ron DeSantis is doing is what I wanted Trump to be doing. The left establishment lies about what critical race theory is to try and inject this into our society. Joe Biden gets rid of Trump's, you know, executive order bans on critical race theory training, and the leftists, who are in many ways populist, many of them aren't,
mm-hmm.
support this because this is a precursor to a form of communism or a path towards chaos and destruction that can bring that about.
Yes.
I think if MLK was alive today, this might be a little bit hyperbolic, but I think he would be villainized and slandered by the corporate media. I think he would be shadow banned. I think he would be banned on big tech social media.
I hate to use this phrase, so I will put quotes around it, but he would be called by liberals Uncle Tom. Mm.
Or a white supremacist.
Yeah. Or,
well, we have seen people who use his words literally be called that.
But look at how they treat any member of a group, whether you are a woman like myself. Well, I can't, they're yes all woman until it comes to a woman like me.
Right.
They are for minorities unless you happen to be Ben Carson or Alan West or Condoleezza Rice.
Candace Owens.
They're for the LGBTQ people unless you're Dave Rubin. Everything has like a stop point for them because it is the ideology and the agenda.
Was MLK anti-LGBTQ? I'm not sure, but I was reading something, but I'm not entirely sure.
The FBI had a lot of dirt on him showing that he had extramarital affairs that they were using against him. They literally sent evidence of that to his wife when he was in prison, as the FBI was sending MLK letters telling him to kill himself in prison as they were extorting him politically with these larger, bigger truths that they got on him after spying on him. He was a part of the church, and he was preaching that kind of church lifestyle. He was a reverend.
Love how, like, if you believe in the biblical definition of marriage, like I myself do, that now that's just, like, dubbed anti-gay.
Yeah. And he did have extramarital affairs. And because of that, the FBI that was spying on him got that information and was literally trying to use it so he would kill himself. That's the history of the FBI, the institution that now has all of Epstein's secret files and videotapes and photos.
I will totally talk conspiracy theories.
Okay, so I think that's not true. I want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah, I don't.
But he was a member of the church, and he preached a lot in church. And he was also, let's be fair, he was also attacked by the corporate media back then. He wasn't seen as someone who was extremely popular. Only after he died was he seen as someone who was popular and then kind of became more popular by the day.
Well, that's typically most leaders, right?
Yes.
And I think that from a evangelical background, like, I think the beauty of actual history and the beauty of religious history is that it shows the innate sin that we were all born into and how nobody is perfect. And so it's actually, I was homeschooled all 12 years. I'm now a homeschool mom to an 8, 4, and 2-year-old. And it's fascinating to me that right around the time the CRT stuff started coming up, I was reading about like turn of the century, post-Civil War, like post-Depression era, pre-Civil Rights Movement, Americans with my now 8-year-old. Like, Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry is her favorite book.
It's a great book.
And I'm like, this is stuff that I learned. Like, I learned real American history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know who hasn't been learning it for the last 30 years? Kids in public schools. Why are they not learning it? Because of lazy teachers' unions that I could go after. And so it's fascinating to me that people just have this thing where they assume that everyone is supposed to be perfect. And I think really the problem boils down to politically, culturally, pop culturally, whatever. People just put people on a pedestal that should not be there.
I think this issue is right for Ron DeSantis to tackle it this way. Donald Trump did the critical race theory ban, but they didn't call it that. They used very specific language. And what's fascinating, when Donald Trump issued the executive order banning these trainings, he was following existing law. The 1964 Civil Rights Act says you cannot discriminate on the basis of race as one of its, you know, one of its many titles. And what was happening at these government contractors was they were having whiteness anti-whiteness trainings. And there was one, I think it was the nuclear laboratory.
That's super duper important, by the way. Like when you're working around nukes.
So this is Christopher Rufo.
On the atomic scale, race matters, right?
And they made the white men go to like some retreat to learn about, like, you can't do that. That violates the law. So Trump comes out and says, hey, guys, this breaks the law.
Turns out, don't do it. Yep.
Joe Biden comes in and says, come on, man, break the law. And he just undoes the executive order. And I'm like, this is insanity. So Ron DeSantis is stepping up with this. We'll see what, you know, if he does end up running. It's tough to say. I mean, if Trump ends up running, do you think DeSantis would actually run against him?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Really?
I would support DeSantis over Trump.
I think it's DeSantis' only chance. If he doesn't run, that's going to be the, you know, where a lot of people aren't going to be following him and supporting him after that, because this is his only chance, really.
And Trump can only blame, like, the state so much for the early COVID policy that he implemented.
Yeah.
Right.
So anybody, any Republican or independent or even Democrat who runs against him can literally look at all of the edicts that he had.
Yeah. 2 weeks to sell the spread.
Yeah,
Dr. Fauci.
Exactly. Like,
and Ron DeSantis would be standing next to Donald Trump on a debate stage, and he would say, you know, with all due respect, Mr. President, for the good work you did, I would have fired Fauci on day one.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone's going to go, wah!
Yeah, and that's crazy. Any Republican that runs against Trump, that's all they have to say.
Yep.
Is why did you keep Fauci in? You were knocking him, but you had the authority to get rid of him. Why didn't you do that?
He wouldn't do it. I think it was Kushner, I think?
Yeah,
I can't remember who we were talking to. They were like, he was advised not to do it.
Really?
Yeah, he was advised to keep him around. He's too popular. You got to keep him.
There was four horsemen of the White House that Peter Navarro was telling us. I don't know if this was on the after segment or during the time that he was on, but he talked about four individuals that were telling him to keep Fauci there and that it would be better for Trump to keep him.
What a mistake.
Yep.
But we got to see what Ron DeSantis is willing to do in other areas. Wokeness is not a reason for me to solely support somebody.
Yeah.
But I will say.
But I
got to admit, when it comes to COVID, I would love. I remember back when I was telling you about how 2019, it was so fast. It was so great. Man, do you guys remember what life was like before the start of the pandemic?
Yep. It was amazing. I could actually go speak on college campuses and have real life protesters.
Yeah. We took it for granted. Yeah, right.
Flying all over the world, just checking out crazy
but
protests.
Florida is still like that.
Yep.
Yeah, Florida is normal.
Yeah, Texas for the most part is as well.
Yep. By the way, my time in D.C., surprisingly, I have not, I put on a mask in an Uber once and only because the driver asked me, and I respect that when they ask. I don't even know what my rating is because I just get into Ubers all the time unmasked. Less masking in D.C. than L.A.
What's the, what's the courtesy with masks and Uber? Do you get in unmasked and only mask up if they ask, or do you get in with the mask on?
No, I lie. I tell a little lie when it's like, do you have a mask? I'm like, well, I have a mask, but I'm not wearing a mask, because you have to check that button before you can order.
I literally have
it. You have to wear three masks. And then when you get in, you can ask the driver how many you're allowed to take off. Mm-hmm. And if he tells you to wear 10,
may I disrobe, sir?
Oh, gosh.
I had an Uber driver ask me to take it off.
May I grace your presence with my face mask?
Yes. Allow me to reveal myself.
I've never asked that question.
I was asked if I wanted to take it off, so I was like, yeah. He's like, want to take it off, and he turned the music up, and I was like, yeah.
It's a little Marvin Gaye playing.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Gosh. He's like, welcome to Texas.
Hey there, Ian. Yeah. You want to take that mask off?
So, Austin in the house.
Let me see what you're working on underneath there.
I am very glad. I don't know who here is in relationships or not, but like, I've been married for 12 years, and I'm so grateful that I like found my husband, got married young, because like, I could not date today. But then I talk to friends or like read random like threads and stuff online about people that date, and there was this one girl, she's like, yeah, we were having like something training at the bar where I work, and this guy like he was tall, he was fit, you know, had a good voice, asked me out, and then they went out after work and where they could take off their masks.
Oh no.
And she was like, he was better with the mask on.
Oh no. Yeah, here, take a look at this. We have this
oh
video.
My gosh.
Oh yeah.
This video went viral before.
Dating in 2021.
Yeah, let me see if I can.
That guy's the epitome of high testosterone.
Look at that face.
So good.
So it's clear that this guy's wife or significant other wants to wear, they're wearing these big plastic tubes.
But they're holding hands.
They're like dogs.
And what is the purpose?
Right.
After a dog gets, you know what? That's what he is.
Okay, so I just gotta explain it to people, who can't see it, who are just listening.
Neutered.
There is a woman and a man, this is a report, I think it's from RT, and the woman is happy. She's showing off that she's wearing a dog cone.
Look
it's effectively a duck cone. But the guy's face,
look at that.
Is just, he's like,
he's literally
one of those smiles where you just press your jaw.
That's like a live shot of me anytime Gavin Newsom says that he's extending the mask mandate.
No.
I'm like,
this guy, man, I'm just like, bro.
By the way, she's way too pretty for him.
Yeah,
and he knows it, and he knows it, and that's why he's doing it. Look at, she's watch this. She does like, she's twirling.
Oh, I don't like
her.
What are you, Cinderella?
And then it shows, look at that, taking pictures, and then look at the guy's face. He's just,
she's not too pretty for him.
Miserable.
She's too crazy for him.
That's what they call a smile when you're not happy.
Yeah.
I gotta tell this guy, I think this is in Europe, but I just wanna tell this man, my friend, Florida.
Yes.
It's a real place. He'll be like, no, don't. So, is it true?
Don't take
Florida's,
it away.
Florida's not real.
Be like,
last year when I left the show, the first day I got into Florida, they had a mask burning at the beach.
That's amazing.
And huge parties down at Fort Lauderdale.
I
went down there and I literally didn't even unpack my RV. I was like, I need to see this. I need to see what's going on here. Huge parties, huge clubs, huge bars. Everyone's partying and there's like hundreds of people on the beach and they're all just taking their masks, literally burning them on fire, being like, we're not going to comply with this absolute nonsense.
You can't do
here.
That in California because then you're like contributing to the bad environment.
That's right.
So, I feel like telling that guy, like, some people have low T because of age. You have low T because of that thing that you're wearing.
Yeah,
around your neck.
So I want to just, I'll bring it back to Ron DeSantis, and that humor is exactly why I'm like, that to me is leadership.
We also have to, like, he has been under fire for a year and a half now, almost 2 years. I cannot believe this, but like in March, we will be at the 2 year mark from when all of this craziness began. And he has been consistent. He has not kowtowed. He has not given up. They haven't found anything on him as much as they have tried. And I think that he has handled it really brilliantly. I'm a fan.
Well, the corporate media
said
that he was going to be the butcher of Florida, that there's going to be a bloodbath, that bodies were going to be piling on top of bodies.
No, that would have been
COVID
Andrew
policies.
Cuomo.
Though that was
literally
because
was
of his because of his, you know, elderly home policy. But the amount of criticism that he was able to withstand from the national media attacking him is noteworthy. And it's really going to be interesting to see him tee off against Trump, which I think is going to happen.
No one else run. But, Nikki, love
it's
going to
happen.
Yeah.
They're going to fight each other. It's going to get nasty.
It's going to get bad. Trump, they got to WWE it up. The two of them together should coordinate no matter who wins and make it the biggest spectacle on earth. Just a Florida, the hot Florida action nonstop.
Ego's going to tell a different
story.
That
sounded like a spring break tease. Otherwise, Florida action.
Otherwise, the corporate media is going to overtake them and pump their candidate and put Hillary in. I mean, they have to work together. Otherwise,
but
they're just going to get
smeared and stomped out. But here's the beauty, though, of new media. Like, here's the beauty of what you guys do. Like, the beauty of my phone that I can go to. And people have the ability. Like, it isn't just the 2, 4s, and 7s anymore. right? It's not the three channels where you get all of your information that my parents or my grandparents thought was
four.
We had 3, 5, and 8.
Yeah, we had two, five, nine, 32.
It's like four was always Fox. 7 was always ABC. Okay,
fine. Five was ABC for us.
Oh. In Chicago, 2 was CBS, 5 was NBC, 9 was WGN, and Fox was 32.
Oh, man, WGN.
Yeah, WGN, Fox 32.
Back in the day.
But So look, I want to explain why we have another story I want to talk about, why DeSantis approaching this woke stuff is so important. We have this story here from Daily Mail. This is an ongoing saga about a transgender swimmer demolishing female records. The Daily Mail reports, exclusive, the integrity of women's sports is at stake. Distressed parents of UPenn swimmers pen poignant letter demanding the NCAA change rules that have permitted transgender athlete Leah Thomas to dominate the competition.
Good for those parents.
Good for those parents, especially. Seriously. So I think the issue right here, right now, I don't take issue with on the surface with Leah Thomas competing because the rules were set. And people did not participate in the rule changes or what was going on.
But were they even aware?
That's their fault.
So,
yep.
I don't know though. I understand what you're saying, and as somebody who's super duper involved, there's still stuff that's happening that I'm unaware of, and I'm a political nerd that's in stuff all the time.
How many years have we been talking about this?
And yeah, but do you think that these UPenn parents listened to you?
Some of them, probably.
Maybe. Sure hope so. I think you can't assume I think it is a wrong assumption to take that the average parent who is working two jobs to send their kid to UPenn, is really aware of, oh, hey, the NCAA changed rules. That's interesting. You know that the left is so good at sneaking this shit in.
Most cops do it all the time.
I don't think most cops know all the laws.
Sure. That's besides the point. Look, if you are a parent and you are dedicating, you are talking about the lives of your children. Mm-hmm. And you are like, I'm going to send you to a school and I don't know what the rules are. I don't know when the meetings are. I don't know the rule changes are happening. Then I feel like you are being negligent.
But these weren't UPenn changes. These were NCAA changes. I need to find this out because I would be curious to know, was it public? And no, because stuff like this happens in
darkness. They should have immediately, the moment they went into that swim meet or whatever that race.
And there was a dude there.
And they said, nope, mm-hmm. we're not doing this, what's going on? And they didn't. They said, just compete anyway. Mm-hmm. And these female swimmers are not standing up and speaking out, they're just giving anonymous comments. Uh-huh. If you're not gonna stand up for yourself, if you're not gonna speak out about this, and if you are a parent who doesn't know, look, when it comes to the NCAA, we're talking about your child's future, we're talking about how you have been coaching your child and putting them in a program to make them the best of the best in whatever sport they're engaged in, and you don't know about what's going on. I'm sorry. After how many years has it been that we've been having these conversations? You still don't know? Negligence.
But at this point, isn't it the parent? They're adults now. These students.
That's right.
Not the parents' responsibility anymore. I think
that's true.
But it's the parents' dollars, right?
Yeah. Maybe.
And maybe in this condition,
unless they took out a loan,
$80,000. Yeah, take a look.
That's insane.
Everybody is scared. The mom added, parents are also scared. The kids will be harmed. We are paying $80,000 for this school. Their life will be impacted.
Yep.
That wouldn't be the case if you would just stand up and say no. But we've had three female swimmers come out anonymously and be like, we don't like this.
But let's future trip here a little bit. What happens then? Because I'm definitely a person that I'm fine with standing up and saying, no, I am the person, I have dug my political grave, I will lie in it. But part of what I do is I feel like I have to be, and I am, representative of women in STEM and in Hollywood and in fashion and in finance who will legitimately lose everything if they speak up and say no. Mm-hmm. And I think that you are now, especially, heck, yay for Virginia with the Youngkin situation, seeing people that are saying, okay, especially when it comes to our kids, enough is enough. I think that for these parents, you can't underestimate that them writing a letter to the administration that could behind the scenes or very publicly, much to the cheering of the SJWs of the world. How many years though, Tim?
It's been going on for a decade. Over a decade. Joe Rogan on his show, and this is back in 2012, talked about Fallon Fox crushing a woman's skull in an MMA ring. Joe Rogan is the biggest podcast in the world. This is mainstream, and these parents there is no way you will ever convince me they didn't know this happening. The only reason they're speaking up now in this letter is because it's finally impacting them, and now they have to say something.
But that's most people. Most people don't say or do anything. Like, those women in Virginia, once again, that voted for Youngkin, that also voted for Joe Biden, they flipped in the last 2 weeks because it affected them. That's just human nature, and I don't think that you're going to change that. And I don't think that we're going to win people to do more of this if we're just telling them that they're negligent parents.
They are negligent parents. When their kids have been training throughout high school and now entering college, and they were like, don't worry, we'll keep our heads down. Let me explain. When Benjamin Franklin said, those who would give up their freedoms for temporary security deserve neither and will lose both. That doesn't just apply to the government. It exists in every facet. These people who think, I'll keep my head down and scrape by, you are sacrificing your principles. You are sacrificing the future for your children.
See, I don't.
And now when it comes, now you think, hold on, you think I'm going to allocate resources in defense of people who knew this was going on. It's been going on for a decade, and they are now saying, oh no, now my kids are losing races? Sorry. Leah Thomas has abided by all of the rules, undergoing a year of hormone treatment so that she could qualify for this. And where were the parents to come out and say no to this? Oh, I'm sorry. You're saying the parents weren't paying attention to the rules that they were putting their kids into?
I'm saying that could be option A. Option B could just be they think this too shall pass. I think that there is an element of people, especially over the age of like 40, 45 in this country, that are like, it didn't used to be this way. This ain't going to be a thing. This will go away. And that now they're waking up and realizing, oh, this ain't going away and we need to do something about it.
So I respect the letter. Absolutely 100%. The parents who are coming out now being like, this is wrong. Yeah. We're scared. We're spending money on this.
And I wish the female athletes would speak up. I would totally wish they would. But I get that everyone's cost-benefit analysis is different. And if these girls go on and start a gaming company and are actually legitimate, successful, real feminist business owners that don't discriminate against people and have intellectual, like diversity at their companies. Amazing. They have to like think about the ends here before they say something. And I don't
is why the moderates, independents, the libertarian types are losing culturally, or at least have been for some time, because the left is willing to go scorched earth. They'll literally send shock troops with crowbars and Molotov cocktails to get what they want. They will put their names on giant signs and say, this is who I am and I refuse. When they go to work, there was one person who went to Taco Bell working there and wore a Black Lives Matter mask. And the boss said, you can't wear that. It's political. And they said, I'm wearing it or I'm quitting. And they said, you're fired. He said, fine. Took a picture, posted it online. The entire left rallied around him, got his job back, and forced the company to bend its knee. Mm-hmm. The right just says, but I got to think about feeding my kids in the future. So I'm not going to engage in this. And they lose.
I agree with most of that. I just think that you have to be understanding of the people that have to feed their kids and don't want to lose their future. And so we need to be more organized. We need to be better at a narrative. And we need to be understanding that emotional stories and emotional examples can kind of engage people and get them in, and then you can fill them with facts and encourage them to speak up.
Well, sure. But this attitude that I've heard of consistently over the past few years of, if I speak up, I could lose my job, and how do I feed my kids? And I'm like, have you looked at the cost of cereal? It's going up 20%. Have you looked at the wholesale inflation's up nearly 10%, the fastest on record. Consumer price increases are up at a 40-year high. Inflation is about to run away. They've printed, 30 to 40% of all U.S. dollars in the past year and a half.
Yep.
And people keep saying, but I got to make sure there's food for my kids. Yo, if you keep complying with this, you're not going to have anything for your kids.
And I'm saying this is where you and the Joes and the Bens and the Rogans of the world can give these people then the talking points and the encouragement that they need to actually say something. Because I think especially for women, we totally like second guess ourselves. Yep. And we are like, did that happen? Did that happen? Oh, I don't know. Did the teacher really say that? Like, did that kid really say that to my kid? And like, should I say something? Well, I don't know. I don't want to lose a friend and all this stuff. And we are like in the moment of just life that we are think that we don't have the voice and are afraid that we don't have. I get told this all the time by people, specifically women, that are like, I feel like I can't say what you say because I won't sound as good saying it. And I'm like, I don't even say it that good. I don't know what y'all are talking about. But I think that there, people like us have to use our voices and give these people the talking points and the help that they need to go scorched earth and to show it to the companies that we're not going to put up with this anymore.
I agree with that. The challenge is if the lowest tier of Antifa and the leftists, random people on the internet, are willing to plaster their names, their sacred honor, and their families behind their principles, and the other side, the independent libertarian types, are not willing to do that, then it's clear which side is going to dominate the culture war.
Yeah, but are they really? I see lots of like empty Twitter faces and profiles that tweet major companies, you know, trying to get them to stop, like.
And they wear masks and they have strategy.
Yeah.
But these are people who are willing to go out on January 20th, 2017 and burn and torch vehicles and smash windows. Mm-hmm. And when they got arrested, institutional powers that they've organized got them all released, except for those who pled guilty ignorantly. And then you look at what happens with, you know, as a right-wing group can walk outside for a march holding up signs saying peace and love, and they'll say it's a far-right Nazi rally. So these people have ceded that power to the establishment media. They're not working in these industries. And look, if you're not willing to engage, and I will point this out too.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the left has the high ground because they have the media.
Yeah. And that's so why we have to be smart.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They don't just have the media though. They have all of the other industries in which I mentioned that scared women message me every day.
Right.
STEM, education, fashion, finance.
So while I recognize there are some, you know, strategic limits.
Yep.
What do you think would have happened if as soon as this race, so this Leah Thomas won the race by over 38 seconds compared to the next fastest rival.
Like
when I was watching a video of this, I saw people swimming the wrong way and I was confused because I've watched swimming before. I've watched like, you know, Olympic
races.
You're like,
oh, didn't they all dive off the same?
And then they go back and they go back and they go back. And I'm like, why is this person going back Oh, they're just outlapping the other people.
I mean,
what do you think would have happened? What do you think would have happened if all of the women who were there refused to race?
Oh, they probably would have been kicked out of school. That's my assumption.
You think that the schools would have been like, you're kicked out.
I
think they would have been like, there's no race.
I think there's no race, but then all the SJWs and all of the woke people on Twitter and all of the corporations that maybe sponsor the team and any of the coaches or the medical staff or, you know, the groups on campus, the LGBTQ groups would have outed those girls and made their lives miserable. And if they weren't kicked out by the administration, they would have been scared to ever set foot on that campus again.
Well, then they deserve
would have happened.
They deserve to lose. Absolutely. Well, if you are unwilling to sacrifice and take personal responsibility for your future and for what you believe in, then you don't deserve it.
And I hope that I'm raising my girls. Our motto every day is to be strong, sweet, and smart, that they have the independence and the forethought and the inner strength to do what is right. But I think that ostracizing people by belittling the small steps that they're willing to take and saying, well, you're not risking enough, is not going to win more people to our side either.
They're unwilling to stand up for what they believe in.
This letter for them is like what they're willing.
The parents aren't the adults. Ian made a good point. These people are competing are adults. Right. They're responsible for themselves. If you're, look, you.
But you know money talks. So if the parents are the ones paying 80 grand a year, really the parents saying something maybe makes more of a difference than the girls saying, I'm not going to swim.
There are so many people, you know, when you were mentioning, it's like, you know, you said me, Joe, Ben, and people who speak up and bring these things up. If you're going to sit back and say someone else will do it for me, I guarantee you, you will lose.
Oh, absolutely. And that's literally what I spend every day is like, I am here to speak for a lot of people, but like we need more of us and we need more average people. And there is strength in numbers.
So it's hard for me to be up. Look, so my personal opinion is there should be a women's, a female division. And then there's a male division. And maybe we do a trans division where, you know, it can be mixed. But right now, if the rules were changed.
But by the way, sorry, sidebar. If you're a woman that is transitioning to a man, you're still not going to beat the man that's transitioning to a woman.
No,
so there shouldn't be a trans. There's no way.
I was just thinking the same thing.
There's no way. Biologically, there's no way.
That's not true. I think.
Really?
So, are you familiar with Mac Beggs?
No.
This is the biological female who started transitioning to become male. Testosterone ends up with broad shoulders, muscle mass, and all that stuff. When you I think there's obviously going to be some research into this, but it is true that biological males who undergo hormone therapy do have reduced muscle mass and stamina, endurance, et cetera. And then females who undergo hormone therapy gain it. So there might be, you know, a median.
I don't think so. I think genetically and naturally, there are so many scientific differences that are just in our bodies as men and women in those, like, two sexes that there can't be. I don't think there could be a transgender.
Regardless,
height is huge.
And that's true, but
hands,
we have height divisions.
Cellulite, muscles, like your body, like your bone density, everything.
And if we create a new division that people can choose to enter, then they're free to choose to enter it or not.
I'm okay with that, sure.
Yeah. So
if it is a public school, I think unfortunately this is going to start coming over to, much like they did with the gay marriage thing and sex education and CRT, it's going to start inkling its way, if it hasn't already, and I think in some places it has, into religious schools as well.
I want to give a shout out to Clifton Duncan, who tweeted something I think is really great. He said, my contempt for COVIDians has been surpassed by my contempt for people who know something is wrong and stay silent. And I was like, yep. But you know what ends up happening is, when people are unwilling, and outside of the issue of these schools, we'll move on from that. When people are unwilling to stand up for any of these issues, what you end up with you end up with hyper individualism. People basically saying, if no one else is willing to rally and defend this, I'm on my own. I'm going to stay on my own.
Well, and, but that can be so, once again, like going back to how women are so different than men, that anxiety and that isolation can be so paralyzing. And I think that, all it takes is I would just tell anybody, like, just find a person that agrees with you on something. You don't have to, clearly, you and I don't agree on everything, but I hope we walk away friends after this.
Oh, yeah,
of course. And we're gonna, like, fight the cause together after this, right? Because we agree on the majority of things that need to be done to make the country a better place and to keep it the greatest nation in the world. And so I think that people, you're right, they become lackadaisical, and they become lazy, and they become isolationists in a sense, because they think that they are all alone in their thinking and they don't see anyone else speaking up. And so I just want to encourage more parents and more swimmers and more everybody to speak up in any way that you possibly can, because then more of those voices make a difference. Yes. Like, look at all those incredible parents that were like, I'm going to go to my local school board meeting.
Yep.
And that made an impact. And they're winning.
Yeah.
And we need more of them.
So I got a good example here. We got this story from Business Insider. Anti-vaxxers storm a New York cheesecake factory in protest that ends in 6 arrests. That's the story. Anti-vaxxer is a funny term. These are basically anti-mandate protests.
So that's me.
They showed up to the cheesecake factory. They were apparently refused to be seated, so they decided to seat themselves, is my understanding. And then the manager was like, you can't be in here. The police showed up. They said, we're not going to leave. They were chanting things like that.
Are they anti-vax for the first shot, the second shot, the third shot, or the fourth shot? Because there are a lot of people who did take the shot that don't want it to be mandated on people, and they're still being called anti-vaxxers when they took the shot themselves.
I think they were for the first, not the second. Not the third, but the fourth. They're
got
fourth.
It. Yeah, totally makes sense.
I have
but these are people putting skin on the line. These are people coming into a restaurant peacefully saying, hey, we want some service here. The restaurant comes up to them, says, hey, we have to comply with this rule and this rule and this rule and this rule with the federal government. And they said, you know what? No. We're not going to comply with the government whims that you demand of us. And then they're like, okay, we're going to call the police. They called the police. The police carried out these orders and these decrees by, of course,
the
bureaucrats, and they arrested these people.
I think there's an interesting, you know, sort of middle ground here. Watching these videos, it was very reminiscent of watching leftist protests as well. The protesters did not understand what was going on. They were saying, you can't kick us out. It's a public accommodation. We're allowed to be here. And it's like, bro, you can be told to leave.
Well,
the police aren't there because of the vax mandates. They're there because you're trespassing.
Exactly. A private business has a right to exclude you from business, but that's not the argument that a lot of people on the left make, saying you do have to bake the cake. You do have to provide a service no matter what. So these people are using the same arguments, and a lot of people are bringing in parallels to this, to what happened in the 1960s with some of the restaurant sit-ins that happened then that was fighting against discrimination. And there is a lot of discrimination, a lot of segregation that deserves to be pushed back, that violates human rights, that's being called on by bureaucrats, by big statists who are violating the most sacred right of all, the right to exist, the right to be able to buy food and water. And that's incredulous and crazy.
So, yeah, that's where I go to real quick. Like, I thought that food was an essential service. Now, maybe you could argue, oh, well, you don't have a right to go to Cheesecake Factory or Delmonico Steakhouse or McDonald's.
But it's not just that. It's also supermarkets.
But in all of the mandates that I've seen, there is a carve out for grocery stores, because I think that they knew that they would get
not their, in some you know, places, what, sued. Not in some places like in Canada, where they give the right
I'm
for supermarkets to discriminate
about the
against
United
people,
States of
and in Australia and in many other places.
Well, Australia is so many friends that are Aussies, and that's insane. I think the thing that you mentioned about like bodily autonomy and like your individual healthcare rights, it's kind of funny how the left used to say like healthcare was a human right and like your body, your choice until now. I get really annoyed by the people that try to make the comparison to the Hobby Lobby case, because I tweeted earlier tonight that, you know, your employer should not be able to tell you like what to put in your body or what to do with your body, especially if it's not a detriment to your job performance or the safety of those around you. And people were like, oh yeah, but what about Hobby Lobby? And I'm like, Hobby Lobby didn't tell their employees, no, you can't take contraceptives. They said, we are morally opposed to paying for that.
Yeah.
And then I've also had people, because like I said, I'm a home birth hippie. They're like, well, your employer knew you were having a home birth. And I'm like, the only reason that Jeremy Boring knew I was having a home birth is because I talk about it all the time. And I try to convince people to do the same thing. And I love being a doula. I'm like, but my employer, your employer doesn't know your birth plan. Your employer doesn't know what vaccines you're going to give your kids. Your employer doesn't know any of that stuff. Your insurance company that your employer subsidizes does, but not the employers. And now you have like Kroger grocery stores, which they own Ralph's. In California.
Really?
And yep. I legitimately, I'm like, I spend thousands of dollars a month at Ralph's. I will find a different grocery store.
Well, they just announced, just for the audience out there, they just announced that they're going to be cutting away benefits for their unvaxxed workers and employees. That's the major decision. They're also trying to get into the Florida market. And a lot of Florida people are saying, hey, don't support this business. And this is the way to do it. So vote with your dollar. Support the businesses that support you, that support your individual liberty, your individual freedom. But in New York City, a lot of these businesses are told to obey and go along with the edicts. Today, 5-year-olds have to show their vax mandate paperwork and their identification when it comes to indoor stores and businesses. That is absolutely crazy.
And you know who's at
fault? The people who complied.
The stores and businesses.
Yes, absolutely.
I so wish. There's a lot of places that are not complying in LA, and I don't want to publicize who they are because I don't want the health department to come a knocking. But I've heard from a lot of businesses there, and I'm sure it's the same in other places. It's like, we're not going to comply. It kind of depends on the enforcement of it, right? That's the bottom line. Because in LA, I think for the LA County Health Department for restaurants that don't require vax cards and bars and stuff like that, the first fine is $1,000. Most people can scrounge up that money, right? The second fine is like 2. The third one is 10. And after that, you can lose like all of your licenses. Mm-hmm. And that is a lot for a business who maybe still be in the red from the government shutting them down during COVID to say, am I willing to take this risk?
But they're willing to take the risk of violating the ADA and the EEOC.
They're unaware though. This goes back
they're
to
not,
like,
they're not. I've
the
actually,
people that are
so
unaware.
I called a couple dozen New York restaurants and they were just like, yep. Like every one of these businesses has to have that thing on the wall that explains you can't discriminate on the basis of medical conditions.
Yeah.
So I called these restaurants and one of them I asked, I was like, I talked to 26 and I said, would you discriminate against someone on the basis of medical conditions? They all said yes. One of them I was like, so, you know, my question to you is like, which do you think is worse? Like the $1,000 fine for violating the executive order or the potential $250,000 fine for human rights violations under New York City and state law? And they hung up on me.
Yeah, because they probably do not know. And they're like, this thing is on the wall and they don't understand. They're like, this guy's pranking me.
I think it's weird that they would know about a decree, like an executive order, like verbatim, but they wouldn't know about their own business.
Really? When the media is like, pushing it and touting it and talking about how important it is. And when you have the mayor and the governor and the president of the United's like all spewing
it. Yes, because the people who run these businesses have to file to get these things and are sent to them and they hang them up. So like, have you ever
met somebody that like works in HR that hangs that up? They're not passing it along.
The businesses in New York City are not big corporate conglomerates. They're small restaurants. It's like, it's mostly small businesses.
The majority of restaurants in the country are owned by immigrants, so, women, and
in New York City,
small businesses.
I'm calling and talking to the managers and the owners.
Yeah.
And they know this. They know they're violating the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Then they've dug their grave.
Right. Like, so I'd love to see
And
this.
They've lost, would, what is it, like 63%? There's an article even before this second, like, mandate.
Here's what we need. We need a president who is going to tell this country all of these businesses will be investigated for violations of the equal employment, the Americans with Disabilities Act. Because in New York City, they actually are firing people who have like Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Yep.
So this was the craziest thing to me when they announced that the vaccine mandate meant that if you were medically barred from getting the vaccine, you lost your job. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's illegal. And it is. So I want to see some enforcement.
Yeah.
You think just because you run mom and pop's cheeseburger shop, you can break the law and discriminate against people? No, I want to see them fined. I want to see them fined the maximum penalty for that.
Yeah. I also think that if you're a guy that or a gal that owns a business that's going to do that to your employee at a small business, my mom owns and operates a small business and has for years. And there's a lot of incredible small business owners out there that care about their people. Like, you're probably an asshole boss before COVID, if you're willing right. to fire somebody during COVID for not getting the jab.
There's a lot of businesses being able to.
Exactly. Like, and that's another extreme of like, you're a jerk.
We also have to understand there's a lot of businesses that are not complying, that are, they're not going right. along yes. with this. One, because they can't afford to. They mm-hmm. can't afford extra staff. There's already a staffing shortage. And now they're going to have to discriminate against people who will or will not be able to enter their business to transact financially with them. That's absolutely crazy. These regulations, these mandates hurt and butcher small businesses, but they allow mega national corporations to succeed because they could hire the extra person. They could have the security guard outside. And of course, they don't face the full brunt of the state. But again, a lot of people in New York City not complying. A lot of people in Manhattan complying. Brooklyn, not so much. And that's why it's also crazy to see major hospital unions, also a lot of major institutions like Amtrak just totally drop the vaccine mandate because they can't go along with it because they can't hire enough people to do the jobs that they need to done.
They were going to have to shut down train services, delay, and they're like, we literally can't, so the vaccine mandate's out.
Yeah. Well, Amtrak just announced that a couple moments ago, by the way, that they're not going along with it.
You know, there's like legal defense funds and stuff that I follow too on social, and you are seeing like small wins. You're seeing the delays, and all it needs to do is start with the delay, and then hopefully one day it'll go away completely.
Well, there's three judges that are going against Biden's mandate, but the Biden administration has plans on the table to set up a domestic passport system when it comes to interstate travel, where they're going to be checking vaccine passports. That's some of the plans that they want to put forward.
There's no
way
that passes
yet.
judicial
but,
muster.
But this
there's
is something
no
that
way.
Has already been implemented in Australia.
Violation. Yeah, it's like,
absolutely.
Like, Commerce Clause, anyone?
Australia, exactly. Australia is a bunch, like, the people of Australia are some of the, not all of them, but they're very, very cowardly.
They're the most compliant people I've ever met in my entire life. And they're like, oh, it's okay. We'll see. Okay. Like, if I do this, then they'll leave me alone. If I do this, then they'll leave me alone.
The United States is like the trope of the armed redneck in a tank being like, get off my property.
Preemptive attack.
Like I love that Family Guy joke where Kermit the Frog is playing, he's like playing the banjo or whatever, and someone's going through a swamp, and they're like, hey, can you tell me where town is? And then he pulls out a shotgun.
Yeah, it's back the way you came.
that's the trope, man. Don't screw around with people like, get off my property, dude.
My husband likes, so Winter's Bone, I love Jennifer Lawrence, like the one that she was nominated for an Oscar for. My husband always tells people, he's like, you know where Alicia's from? They're like, no. I'm like, well, here's Oklahoma and there's where I'm from. And then my husband's like, have you seen Winter's Bone? And they're like, yes. And he's like, that's where Alicia's from.
Nice.
Look, Australia's got, you know, their crazy spiders and, you know, kangaroos. You ever see that video where the kangaroo's like banging on the glass? And
they used to have rats that were like climbing into cribs and trying to eat babies.
So it's a scary place, but for whatever reason, the government comes out and they're like, we're going to lock all you in camps. And they're like, that's all right, mate.
So the reason why is it actually is a society that is very like, middle class, upper middle class. Like everybody is middle class. Like if you drive an airport shuttle there, you're like middle class. And I have a lot of friends that are Australian and love them dearly. And one of my girlfriends just became an American citizen, by the way. Super cool. She has like family still over there, especially her grandparents. And they've talked about like this upper class, much like in the United States, right? Like you have these rich elitists that can still go to Mexico and fly their private planes and send their kids to the $70,000 a year, you know, private school in LA and pretend like everything's okay. Chrissy Teigen. But it is the lower class there. It is like the blue collar people that are the ones that are going out and protesting and getting their, you know, what's handed to them by the cops. Really brutal stuff that is disgusting that is not being covered by media anywhere. And it's kind of like the upper class. It's like, oh, you know, we got the shot. We're okay. And it is the poor, the underrepresented underdogs there that are like, no, enough is enough. And I'm like, good for them. Like if any of you are watching, good for you. Like God bless you.
It's the poor people that have been predominantly the victims here. They're the ones that are losing a lot of their money, losing their savings, losing their economic mobility, losing any kind of economic opportunities. Mm-hmm. They're the ones absolutely getting riddled with regulations, restrictions. They can't operate a small business. Multinational corporations, they could be open when lockdowns are imposed on everyone else. They could conduct business. They of course could afford the regulations. They could afford the extra taxes. They could afford every little whim of that the government puts on them because they're working hand in hand together and working out secret deals that essentially benefit them. And that's why we're seeing the largest transfer of wealth in recorded human history happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what's going on in New York City. New York City passes green gas ban. Experts warn could lead to electrical blackouts and soaring bills. De Blasio-backed law will outlaw gas stoves and heaters in all new building properties. So that is as of January 2024, all new buildings and taller ones. What is it? Shorter buildings of seven stories have to go electric by January 2024. Yo, New York City is, it's like, it's going to be, have you ever seen Escape from New York?
Yep. Yes.
That's what it's going to be like. I love that movie. It's hilarious. When he crashed, you've seen it, right, Ian?
Yeah. Yeah. A couple months ago, we put it on glider downstairs.
And he lands on the rooftop.
Kurt Russell.
Going down Snake the building. Plissken. Everything's, yeah, that's
hot
right.
old guy list.
Everything's destroyed. Bill de Blasio said he wants to buy up these buildings that are, you know, collapsing in value and becoming vacant to use as public housing.
Oh.
I gotta say, it looks like everything he's doing, it has the
rebuilding the projects and segregating people? Is that what Bill de Blasio
destroying
wants?
Destroying property value, forcing people to flee because he's conquering the city. Now banning gas in buildings. Well, there you go. I mean, it's, look, their vision of a future. Someone had a really, really great tweet. They said the elites, they were referring to space travel, but I think it applies to all of them. They were mm-hmm. like, the elites do not want Star Trek. They do not want a Star Trek future. They want a future more like Dune. they want classist, elitist yep. control of everything.
That and they that's can what annihilate.
You know exactly. what? This cooking over an open flame is probably more than a magnitude better than cooking on an electric yes. wire stove yes. where you can't get better. When you have a flame, you can pick the pot up and move it around and tilt it to get the heat exactly right where you need it for the food.
Ian knows from experience.
The quality of food is going to drop in New York after
can you,
this.
I just imagine I like all the chefs in the world that are like,
no. You need open flame to cook.
What are they going to do? They're gonna have torches and they're gonna be holding the pan with a torch under it.
Flambe. They'll come up with a really look, cool, like hipster thing where there's a grill in the restaurant.
Yes.
My concern is not so much about the quality of the food they cook, but, the rolling blackouts that are gonna literally kill people.
Yeah. Especially this in New York. Remember that freak ice storm
yep.
that was yeah. horrific, like earlier this year that killed people in Texas, partly because they were trying to do this clean energy move that wasn't a good thing. And oh, you know, the windmills froze after they killed all the birds and used more natural gas to make them than it actually put outputs. New York is freaking miserable.
This is
a problem.
Do you think that Greta Thunberg knows that her plan would kill millions of people in a matter of weeks?
No.
When she's like, how dare you? She said, like, we mustn't wait until 2030 or 2023. We must do it now. It's like, if you shut off fossil fuels
uh-huh.
right now,
uh-huh.
you'd probably kill 10 million people in a weekend.
Easily. Yeah.
Because all the electricity goes out. People who are diabetic, oh, they die instantly because their insulin goes bad. And then within the matter of a couple of weeks, the elderly start dying from a lack of access to heating and cooling.
Yep.
Oxygen. So is, you know, I have to give her the benefit of the doubt and assume she just doesn't realize she's talking about genocide.
No, she's being fed talking points by the evil environmentalist lobby of the world.
There's
another
this?
Discrepancy though. You talk about how poor people, underprivileged people have been so negatively hurt by COVID and regulations. Here's something that leftists and radicals don't want to talk about. Is the poverty index when it comes to energy and the energy poor in the world and the best way to raise their future, their educational, their medical, like their professional economic growth is to provide these people with the energy that now yeah. Bill de Blasio and Gavin Newsom are trying to take away. And private entities are the best way to do this. Like if you want to have a cleaner planet, let corporations do what they do. Like the private market has been so much better for creating clean initiatives than the government regulation or bureaucrats or, you know, tax bonuses have ever been.
I went to Iceland a couple of years ago and it's beautiful. It's amazing.
It's so cool.
It's expensive a little bit. And what I was told by locals there was that I was like, how is it that people live up here? You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, it's, you know, it's day out
it's
until
like,
midnight or
it's
whatever.
Just survival.
Yeah. There's like, where do you get food from? Like, how do you
ship
grow
it in,
food?
So
everything smells like farts.
Yep.
And no, they have, it's true. They have greenhouses.
Natural gas.
They have greenhouses yep. for growing vegetables. And then what I was told was before the advent of geothermal,
mm-hmm.
they were some of the poorest people in the world.
Yep.
Working in like mines, just covered mm-hmm. in filth and struggling to survive.
Yep.
But once they got access to cheap, clean energy, their standard of living skyrocketed.
Yep.
Now, it works for them because they live on a gigantic, you know, volcanic hotspot. But for people who are in the middle of, you know, America, you know, we got to ship in oil and gas to them. So they have the ability, they have the energy they can use for farming equipment, for home heating, for cooking.
We shouldn't have to when we're sitting on some, but go on.
I mean areas that don't have access to it, right? Like certain, not every area has, you know, sitting on oil.
Yeah.
And so we have pipelines.
Yep.
So we can ship it to them. So we can say there's a lot here, there's a little here, let's move it around.
Yep.
And this gives people better quality of life. Now I'm concerned about, you know, climate change and all that stuff too. So I'd love me some fusion. There was a new report I'm really excited about. They finally got energy output from fusion. You see that, Ian?
Yeah, but it might have been debunked.
Oh really?
I'm gonna look at
you. Oh, that's just a fan. Why you got a black?
I'm just a fan of like nuclear energy.
Yes.
Yeah. Like everybody assumes that Chernobyl is going to happen, and I'm like, guys, no. If you watch the HBO documentary, and then you actually read a history book, you will see that like Chernobyl ain't going to happen. And even with the Japanese plant that had all of the issues, yeah. What was it?
Fukushima.
Fukushima.
Okay.
Oh. As I say it properly.
Oh well, I'm going to say that properly. Much like you can't say my name. I'm never going to be able to say that properly.
That was not debunked.
Good.
Cool. Made some mega breakthroughs.
But there's so many. If these people though really cared about forward movement in the energy race to be clean, then they would be looking into nuclear infusion. Why don't they?
Because look, people don't understand. The problem with Chernobyl was not nuclear power.
Yep.
It was communism.
Exactly. 1,000%. Yeah. That was like the most conservative, pro-capitalistic, like American agenda show I have ever seen come out of Hollywood. When my husband and I watched that show, I was like, did they realize what they were it's like Squid Games, right?
Yeah.
Like the writer thinks that it's like a thing about how evil capitalism is.
This one really got me too, because I said that several times, that Squid Game was very clearly about communism.
Yes.
And all the leftists were like, Tim's so dumb, he doesn't understand capitalism. Nope. And I said, if it was an allusion to capitalism, when they did the red light, green light, some people would have started at the finish line, some people would have been in the middle, and some people would have been in the back.
Yeah.
When everyone is put in a jumpsuit and put at the beginning and told,
equalize,
run for it.
Huh. Yep.
Yeah, that's communism, not capitalism.
Yep. 1,000%. I do kind of love it though when Hollywood assumes that. There's even some things that they've come out with recently that I watch it and I'm like, this is pro-life. Like, how did somebody, like, I Am Mother. Did you watch I Am Mother?
No.
It's a pretty good like sci-fi movie on Netflix, and like I watched it and I'm like, I don't want to give it away, but it's like totally pro-life. Love on the Spectrum. I totally almost cry every episode. Love on the Spectrum is like about people on the spectrum that are trying to find love and like marriage and happiness. And I'm like, this show is so pro-life
Have you seen The Order?
No.
So this show got canceled. There was only two seasons. But, so I'll just spoil it because it came out like a year ago.
Yeah.
The villain in the second season, this is like, it's a college age show. So it's targeting people who are in their like 18 to 24. Yeah. The villain in the second season is an overt communist.
Uh-huh.
It's overt communists. They go to this guy's, this professor's house, and they look at his books. It's like Stalin, Marx. And the show is about a secret society of, you know, people of magic.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, in order to cast a spell, you have to sacrifice something. So they cut their hands as a sacrifice to like cast a spell. And the communists believe that there is an incantation that will give everyone the ability to freely use magic. And the leader of the order is like, if it were true, don't you think it would have happened by now? People have tried this over and over again. You either pay now or you pay later. Uh-huh. And I'm like, man, pro-capitalist nice. Netflix show. Literally, like, and it's one thing if the villain was like, not overtly reading books on Marx.
Yeah.
And they just said, I believe in equality for magic. But they're literally like, their group was called Praxis. And they're like, Marx, it's good. And they were like, workers unite. And I'm like, man, they just slapped us in the face with this one.
I would love to think, I'd not heard about that show, but I would love to think that somewhere in Hollywood is like a pro-capitalist, like, conservative that did that on purpose.
I think they were experimenting.
Just like slipped it in.
They got canceled though. I wonder if at Netflix they were just like, look, a lot of our shows follow themes that are more pro-leftist.
Yeah.
Maybe if we make a show that follows another theme, we might actually see, like, maybe people like this stuff. And they made the show and, you know, not enough people watched it.
It sounds a little too, like, satanic for me. I don't typically like those kinds of shows.
Yeah, like, it's not a great show, to be honest. Yeah. So they set
the pro-capitalistic message up for failure is what you're saying.
Like, I gotta be honest, like, I was eye rolling at the overt politics that they had injected into it, and I was like,
And I don't want that in my entertainment. I just want to be entertained.
I wanted the werewolf to fight the wizard. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a brutal show because, like, they show people getting their hearts ripped out and stuff like that.
Well, most entertainment now is propaganda. And it's hard not to see it.
Kids shows
everywhere.
That are propaganda.
It's horrible. Yeah,
kids
it's awful.
Shows.
Dang.
Allie Stuckey the other day had a thing where she was, like, posting on her stories, her Insta stories, all of the things that are kind of just... like just subtly in kids shows, and there's a show that my 8-year-old likes to watch, and I walked in and I was like, what? And I could show you a video. I took a video of it and I showed it to my husband, and it's like a man in a sequins jacket with an effeminate voice and like a ton more makeup on than I'm wearing right now, and fabulous fake eyelashes and painted nails. And I was like, hey, to my 8-year-old, I'm like, who's this guy? And she's like, oh, he's just on this episode. He's the bad guy, and he, like, wants to take over social media. It was, like, a very,
what?
Like, 2021, like, trend, right? And she was like, that's the bad guy. Don't worry. Henry Danger is going to get him, or whatever the show it was. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, it's happening. Or you even, like...
the bad guy was effeminate?
Yeah. But I'm like, well, at least they acknowledge that, you know, I love it when there's bad ladies on shows. I'm like, you know, women can be evil, too. Hey, like, yo, Kim Jong-un's sister, anyone? So it's
have you seen The Boys?
No, but I've heard it's really good.
I think it's the second season. I don't know, whatever. I haven't seen it in a minute. But one of the characters is literally meant to be, I'm pretty sure, like, I think they were trying to rip off Laura Loomer.
Really?
So they got this, she's like a Nazi, like superhero or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was a leftist version of the worst, like, they look at Laura Loomer. For real, watch it. And, you know, Laura, if you had to be seeing this, I wonder if she's seen it. Because when I saw that, they announced before the season that they were introducing an alt-right superhero or something like this. And I roll my eyes like, you know, like they're trying so hard to do
this. It's so original. I remember back, Ann Coulter. Like, I feel like there's so many characters. I think it was like Ally McBeal, SVU, like all these, even movies where they would show like the, you know, kind of like CNN type news set that's commenting on what's ever happening in the movie, right? Like, I think even in Day After Tomorrow, there was very much, there's always like the blonde that's making that argument, and they would make her be attractive and thin and tall, like Ann Coulter. And it's like, it's visually, that's what, you know, that's what they were thinking in the writer's room.
I want to make sure I make this point clear too. I am not saying that Laura's a Nazi. I'm saying you have these leftists in Hollywood who get this fake media view of what Laura Loomer is and then make a character based on this fake version. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm surprised that they haven't done a fake version of like Rogan or Shapiro or, you know what I mean? It's bound to happen.
Probably. There's a new show on Netflix called, was it called Conspiracy Theory? Is that what it is?
I forgot the name of it.
Oh yeah, I want to watch that. I put it in my faves or whatever.
I don't know. I don't remember what it's
called. I watched the later episodes, but I'm like, it's filled with propaganda.
But there's one of the characters is a psychic mushroom from Hollow Earth. And he has a bit in one episode where he doesn't want to hang out with Joe Rogan anymore. And so like they did DMT together or something. That was fairly neutral. I thought it was funny.
I just want to be entertained.
Yeah.
Well,
like, entertainment, it's like the Gladiator.
But you got to understand, like, entertainment has been weaponized. You can't relax. You can't sit back. You can't enjoy a lot of content because there's a lot of subconscious crap that they're trying to put in your brain, because when you're watching entertainment, you let your guard down. Mm-hmm. And literally your subconscious mind picks up all these subtle nuances, all this larger messaging, all this larger propaganda. And that's why there's such big money in the entertainment industry, and that's why there's such sinister people like Harvey Weinstein, like Kevin Spacey within it, that do absolutely horrible things that are able to propagandize the future of this country and set the culture through Hollywood. There's a reason a lot of people in Hollywood say that it's run by Satan, and a lot of people make jokes about it, but there's a lot of parallels.
There's you are the lowest of the low if you tried to sexualize my 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are the lowest of the low. And if you are trying to, and that is, I think, my biggest issue with lots of LGBTQ activists, that you are trying to change the physical, emotional, hormonal, and mental outcome of a human being, especially before they're 18 years old, and using them as a political pawn for your personal sexual agenda. It's not okay.
Let's go to Super Chats. If you haven't already, smash the like button, subscribe to this channel. We're going to have a members-only segment coming up at timcast.com. It'll be up around 11 or so p.m. So subscribe to our website as a member. Go to timcast.com. We have exclusive segments that only appear on that website. They'll be on the front page. Let's read some Super Chats we got here. Darth Ribbit says, Tim, the Convention of States has a Maryland chapter. We have members up in the West Virginia, Maryland area. We have two Maryland senators and reps sponsoring the COS bill.
Very cool.
Convention of States. Very, very cool. Awesome. All right. Rekha Morrison says, Alberta is easing restrictions on the unvaxxed because, and I quote the premier, vaccine passports are leading to mass civil disobedience.
Yes.
He's in yep. danger of losing his party leadership.
Good.
Yeah. I didn't know that they were all aboot that up there.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Apparently.
Have you ever gone up there and had poutine?
No.
It's so good.
I know doughy. Canada because of my husband's dislike of it because he's from Detroit. And also Don Cherry. That's it. It's like all I know about Canada.
I need poutine in my life.
All right. Let's see.
What is poutine? The
basic version is just French fries with cheese curds and gravy.
But that sounds delicious.
I know,
but when you go to actual like poutine restaurants, yeah. they have like 30 different varieties.
Is there like a all you can eat buffet style? Cause I'm from the Bible Belt and we like that. It sounds like if there's 30 different varieties, I want the thing of fries and then I want to be able to try the different kinds.
Yes. Just make it simple. Just eat a potato. Stop confusing things.
No.
Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Tim, Biden literally went to a disaster zone where lives were lost and ruined, and yet folks still booed him.
Yeah.
Guys, it is that bad for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it's so true. It's the effects of what happened pre the awful natural disaster on top of, I think people are like, screw you. You're just here for a photo op.
Yeah, for me, the craziest thing is I still can't believe that tomorrow I'm going to see Spider-Man in theaters.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
I'm so excited. Uh-huh. I've been just like so excited when the trailers came out and I knew Tobey Maguire was going to be in it.
Is it really like 3 hours long?
2.5.
It's only 2.5. I felt like somebody had said that they thought it was going to be 3 hours long. And I'm like, dang, like why? Sometimes I feel like movies, it's the old lady in me. I'm like, that's just 20 minutes too long.
Go to sleep.
Well, I'm excited. All right, let's see. Moosey Moose says DeSantis introduced a new bill, Stop Woke Act, Stop Wrongs Against Our Kids and Employees Act. Looks like DeSantis is bringing us gifts for Christmas. Someone also mentioned, like, stay away from DeSantis, he's ours.
DeSantis.
People have pointed out that if he runs for president, then Florida loses mm-hmm. a great governor, you know?
Yeah, but they gonna be okay.
Yeah, I think so.
He can just endorse the next guy or gal.
Florida man has a reputation for a reason.
I mean, but don't we want to make America Florida again?
We do.
I got that shirt, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Christina H. says, how are the Rage on Behalf of the Machine songs coming along? Can't wait to hear them. Step on Sneck and Find Out will be awesome, too. Much love from my dad and I to our favorite podcast. So normally we don't announce the guests we're having in the event that, like, they just cancel. But Michael Graves is coming.
Right.
And he was a singer of the Misfits, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So I was recently talking to hang out with him. It's going to be really awesome. We're going to set up a little jam space. And I was telling him, like, we should do a big song where we should just get as many people who like play music to add some tracks to it. So like, you know, we'll do some like guitar here. And then we've got Pete Parada, formerly of The Offspring, who's doing
That's
drum
cool.
tracks for us.
Yeah.
Then we'll get Michael Graves to do like some vocals. Michael Knowles plays guitar.
Yeah.
Jack Posobiec plays bass. Sydney Watson plays piano and sings. James O'Keefe sings, right?
And he's a DJ.
And he's a DJ.
Yep.
And then I was like,
oh my gosh.
And Ben, and Ben Shapiro, Ben plays the violin.
That's
right.
And he's not a bad singer. So when we did a morning That's show cool. together, we did a Morning Answer listener cruise, and I love karaoke, and so we did like Krauss karaoke one night,
cool.
and he sang some Frank Sinatra to his wife,
wow.
who is a doctor, by the way.
Oh,
and
yes,
he's pretty decent.
So I said, I'm hereby committing all of these people to this song, Rage on Behalf of the Machine. I said it'll be called Rage Against the Machine, but like for real this time,
yeah,
and or something like that. And
because Rage Against the Machine sold out,
yeah,
and they're now Rage on Behalf of the Machine.
Yeah,
but I do feel like if we just do the basic tracks and tell someone, give 5 minutes to throw something on top of it,
this is
people
like
would do it.
The Freedom Movement's version of a telethon.
Yeah,
it's like instead of all we're saying is give peace a chance or like one world.
It's going to be a good song because we're not going to screw around.
Of course,
I'm not going to stick my name on anything bad.
You should get like. John Rich and Mike Rowe.
Yeah.
You know that Mike Rowe has like the number one song.
Really?
He had like a number one song in the country. Like,
what does he play?
He sang it. He and John Rich did like a Dirty Santa Claus.
Oh my gosh.
Santa Gets Dirty, like, you know, song. Isn't that hilarious?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Get Mike on.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Westside Power Sports says, any chance you can get Crowder on since he's off YouTube till after the New Year would be a great IRL. Also, Merry Christmas to everyone. Is he off?
I think he got another hit.
He got hit.
Yeah.
Which is complete BS, you know, and I always encourage people whenever they go after Crowder, YouTube gave him another strike. Show your support to him with Mug Club.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But he's not taking off for the holidays.
I don't think he could go live, so I think he's taking his show to Rumble for a week. That's what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. He still works.
I said this earlier on Twitter. I'm like, when will big tech realize that the more you try to silence voices, it's like earned media. It's like free PR.
Within limits, I think it's true for Bannon, though, because when they took him off YouTube, people want to watch Bannon.
Yeah.
So they just moved over to the podcasts, and so, like, his ratings skyrocket.
Yeah.
You know, these are people who are looking for his content. The same thing is true for Crowder. Crowder's got over 500,000 subs on Rumble. Jeez. Like, so this was a huge mistake for YouTube.
Yep.
They only get by forcing the monopoly, but Crowder is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So if he has to move to Rumble, his company still exists. Yep. He still has people. He's a family to feed. He has employees to make sure he's doing right by them. He's not going to shut his company down because he gets banned.
No.
And he's going to bring those millions of people. I think it's like 30 to 40 million per month over to Rumble.
He has a lot of views.
Yep.
That's insane.
YouTube needs to realize this. And I will mention this too. Nick brought this up to me. I knew this last year. I didn't realize it. We are, in terms of a live show, the number one super chatted show in the world, I guess, according to like YouTube metrics. And we're the 12th biggest live show on YouTube.
That's awesome.
Which is crazy to me. I didn't realize that.
And they haven't tried to cancel you yet?
They've given us a strike. So I recently, so they deleted the Alex Jones episode right when it happened last year. And we didn't do it. Like, I talked to Google. They said, no, it's done. You can't bring it back. And so then I hit up Alex and Michael, and I was like, come back. We're doing another new show because they won't reinstate this one. So I recently decided, it's been a year, I'm going to click the appeal button. Mm. And then they, within a day, said, we rejected your appeal. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Sent the stuff that they, like, try to censor, too. Like, Larry Elder's video on why America isn't racist. Or I did a PragerU video about how America's abortion laws are more left than socialist countries.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they like censor it.
Yeah. Dr. Peter McCullough was censored today.
Yeah. It's crazy. I remember you saying that. And it's so crazy because it's like, if you Google what kids can watch, like transgender reading hour or a drag queen storybook hour, like that's not put with a warning. That's not censored, but just factual information totally is.
All right. Anthony Epley says, in your discussion about virtual reality, you should look into Vasily Mahanenko's series, Way of the Shaman, Invasion, and Banned from Barleona. They cover all the issues you were talking about and take it even farther in the story. Hmm. Interesting. We were talking about Metaverse the other day.
It freaks me out.
Yeah, it's creepy, man. But don't you want to just, like, here's the way I described it to
Surrogate,
Jack,
like the movie Surrogate? No, don't want that.
Imagine this.
Right, exactly.
You walk over to your treadmill,
uh-huh,
and you turn it on,
uh-huh,
and then you put in your Metaverse chip, and then in your mind, you're sitting in Old Country Buffet while your body is running on the treadmill. And then you're just eating, you know, peanut butter pie, brisket. You got chicken wings. You got a burger and pizza, and you can eat as much as you want. And then when you're done, you take it off, and you're just running on the treadmill, and then you stop and get off.
Nope. I like reality.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy?
Some people, though.
A lot of the – when you take drugs, a lot of the response you feel is your body's chemical response to the drug.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you go into virtual reality and you induce what your body thinks is the drug, mm-hmm, that your body will produce the response, even though you didn't actually, you only took a simulated drug.
So there's some insane technology that I guess has been out for a while, but now it's like some of it is on the market where they have like the emissions of what receptors are. So like what a Jack and Coke is, like, and how it makes you feel, and like the body's receptors to that. I could be totally biffing this, but it's like this wearable that you can have like a Jack and Coke setting or a relaxed setting or like a setting that makes you feel like maybe you took a hit of pot or had some CBD and that you're not actually ingesting it. It's like this wearable is like emitting whatever waves do that. Anyway, and so there is something, I think, that with the metaverse, like you have those things coming together. And I think with all technology, there's an incredible opportunity for medical advancements and economic advancements and educational advancements, right? Between like AR, VR, and 3D printing, like you could do medical school with people in the middle of nowhere sub-Saharan Africa. That'd be incredible. Gotta get them power first, which Greta Thunberg doesn't want us to do.
Like that.
But, I think with that though, definitely, like, with great power comes great responsibility. And it's real dangerous when you start to go the way of people becoming obsessed with that falsehood.
Right.
And I think it is bad for society.
All right. Le Pool of Death Gaming says, how do I debate people who won't accept any news source that isn't their preferred source, especially those who love CNN? Use CNN. That's why I love using CNN.
Yep.
So, you know, CNN reported on their producer who is, you know, trafficking kids. On cable TV, they don't. So also, I think you just got to understand if, you know, out of 99, out of 100 articles, 99 are leftist and there's one that actually hits the nail on the head, use it. And then be like, what are you talking about? This is the Daily Beast. Like, I don't know what you want me to do.
New York Times even.
Right. The New York Times is saying Joe Biden shouldn't be president.
I love to post NPR stories.
Yes.
No, it's great, my fave. Right? It's
now, they falsely frame things a lot.
Yep.
But the point is, if you're debating someone and really trying to change their mind, you're not going to pull up Alex Jones, where he's like, turn the freaking frogs gay. Like, that's a little too much for the average person. But you can pull up NPR saying something like, you know, Biden's economic plans have failed and the Build Back Better plan is over.
Or CNN reporting on his abysmal approval rating.
Right. Or how about, you know, it happened only after the election, but the laptop.
Yep.
You know, after the election, like, oh, yeah, this laptop actually was real.
I also, when it comes to COVID stuff, I love to just pull straight from the CDC's website.
Yes.
People are like, wait, what? Only, you know, how? No, it's so dangerous to kids. You're trying to kill your kids when you let them walk around without a mask on, Alicia. And I'm like, well, but how many children have died? And they're like, thousands. And I'm like, well, actually, screen really? Grab. Here you go. Not true.
Exactly.
All right. Let's see. Rock says, can we stop praising DeSantis, who signs and supports anti-free speech laws, silencing people and companies that support boycotts of a foreign nation? I'm not a fan of that.
Not a fan of it.
Yeah,
not
a fan of it.
He deserves criticism for that.
Can we cycle back to what we talked about when we were talking about MLK and the affairs and stuff and how nobody's perfect?
Yeah.
I would much rather take that than, you know, other Republicans who are anti-2A and do other things, too.
All right. Let's see. Let's grab something good. Tyler says, this is to Ian. I am sorry for the tone of previous criticisms. I have newfound appreciation for your contributions.
Thank you, sir.
Well, there you go.
Anything else to add, Ian?
Moderator Blue says, had a dream once Joe Biden made an address and said, American people, it's been found our dollar value is a Russian asset, so we will use the full power of the federal government to put a stop to it.
That might be happening right now with the moves that they've been making.
I'm sorry that those are your dreams, man. Like, dreams are supposed to be good, happy things.
Yeah
that was like one of those news articles.
Well, those are interesting and creative. Those are cool dreams, I think.
The U.S. dollar is a Russian asset.
It's hilarious.
Busy B says the parents or athletes would have never complained if the trans athlete would have been not good. They would have been cool with it. Everyone should have stood up from the beginning.
Is the trans athlete allowed to use the women's locker room?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine why not.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I would have spoken up way sooner than that.
Yes.
All right, let's see. There was one I saw before. The Great Treasure says, great guest. If you will not fight when you are most likely to win, you will fight when it is most certain you will lose, because it is better to die than to live as a slave. Yep. Churchill.
Absolutely.
Oh, interesting.
Love me some Churchill.
Yeah.
He also liked whiskey and cigars, so that's cool too.
That's great.
And freedom.
Yes.
MZ Kim says, there's a huge difference between getting sued for violating EEOC by a private individual and the full force and effect of the state enforcing mandates.
Yeah.
Not true. Wrong.
Really, though?
Yes. The EEOC comes at you as a state agency, not as an individual. I filed National Labor Board complaints against organizations, and it is not me personally hiring a lawyer and going after them. They get a call from the government who says, don't lie to us. Here's what's going to happen next. And they go, okay.
Huh.
When you file an EEOC complaint, the government comes after them, not an individual.
Interesting.
So it's actually, I would actually argue, when you violate the mandate, you're going up against one man, Bill de Blasio, and his executive order.
Yep.
And then his underlings.
Yep.
When you violate someone's, if someone's got a medical condition and they can't get, so you fire them.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got city, state, and federal agencies you're going up against. So I think it's clear as day that people fear de Blasio more than three different agencies. New York City has a human rights commission, the states has a human rights commission, and the federal government has the EEOC.
But when you have Kathy Hochul at the state saying that God wants you to get vaccinated and enforcing all of these mask mandates and vaccine mandates and stuff, like, as a business owner, don't you assume that you're really not going up against the three? You're going up against, it's like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Like, it's two and two at this point. And then when you have the Biden, like, you really are odd man out.
Rockin' a hard place. All right, let's see. Pitsu says, NYC will be the U.S. gulag. perhaps. I don't know about the entirety of the city.
California? Dude, the metaverse.
Are they going to build camps like in Australia?
The metaverse is the U.S. gulag.
They have nowhere to put camps. I mean they're getting rid of their prisons.
Well,
they,
he said
they can't even run their prisons in New York City.
But de Blasio was going to... Well, they're going to release all the prisoners and put non-vaccinated people in there. But he was saying that de Blasio wants to take all the buildings, like the vacant buildings. And
well, he said
them
he wanted
housing,
to buy some of these cheaper buildings and convert them into public housing.
A.K.A. COVID prisons.
Yep, I could see it.
Well, there you go. All right. Stephen White says, that's why you need to come to Tennessee. We have nuclear with the Y-12 power plant and the hydroelectric with plenty of dams.
I do like Bill Lee. That's the governor there, right?
I don't know.
Bill Lee. No idea.
Bill Lee is the governor there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Tennessee governor?
I'm a fan.
Dawson Jackal says, remember the movie Soylent Green was set in 2022 and in New York. You will be happy.
I have not seen that one.
Maybe.
Bill Lee. Is that
who
that
yeah.
is? It's also important to know anyone comes into New York City is tracked and databased because they have toll roads that take a picture of everyone coming
easy
in
pass.
And out.
Yeah, it's tracking your easy pass, that's for sure.
So they could convert it to a prison very easily.
Micah Young says, there is a Ben Shapiro character in the Daniel Craig movie Knives Out. It was pretty bad. Was there, though?
Oh, so Ben speculated that what's Chris Evans' character was, like, supposed to be him.
Really?
What? Chris Evans?
Right? Wasn't that who it was?
No. Chris Evans is, like, 6 foot tall and ripped.
That's Captain America.
Right.
Yeah, but he was in Knives Out. He's like the rich
kid.
Can
someone CGI Ben Shapiro as Captain America?
That would be fantastic.
Like fighting the Winter Soldier?
So you know
that guy before he became Captain America. I think that's more likely.
No.
Let's be real. Let's be honest here.
No.
Let's be honest.
Why does everybody rip Ben's size?
You work with him.
I'm not making fun of him for his size. I'm making fun of the idea that someone would claim Chris Evans.
No, I think it was the character. It was like the actual like demeanor and personality and like what he said about wealth and like education and stuff like that. I think that's what they're trying to do. I watched the movie and I actually really enjoyed the movie and I didn't see the comparison.
No, it can't be Chris. Ben Shapiro is not Chris Evans' character is a narcissist. And I don't believe Ben Shapiro is a narcissist.
He's 1,000% not.
Right. Yeah. So the Chris Evans character is like,
but
I'm smarter and I'm better than
you. But if you're a radical leftist, watch Ben Shapiro and think that he's a narcissist.
The persona of Ben Shapiro.
Yes.
It was crazy watching Ben debate that dude, Malcolm Nance Bill Maher.
I wish it had gone on longer.
And I'm like, why would anyone support Nance who is just being mean and snide?
He just literally had zero comebacks. Yeah. He just looked like a
Ben
sore
shouldn't
loser.
Have said.
See, we got to teach America how to lose again.
Yep.
Ben shouldn't have said, "I sleep on piles of money," though. But I get it. He can't.
You mean that thug life?
Right.
You didn't want that moment.
No, because you're trying to win hearts and minds. When Malcolm Nance said, "Is this what you do on your show?" Because it sucks.
Yeah.
Ben said, "I'll think about that when I sleep on piles of money."
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if they're accusing you of being a grifter, that's not the route you should go. My response would be like, Malcolm, like. Please, we were trying to do a professional conversation here. There's no reason to get derogatory. And then he would have been like, okay.
Well, I actually, he could have tuned in. Yeah, this is why this many X millions of people tune into my show.
But I think like, you know, what I often do on Facebook when people are agitated, I just respond with like, I don't understand why you're being so mean right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they immediately like de-escalate. Not everybody, but
I sometimes say Jesus loves you. I don't have to.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
No, it's like, why are you being mean? I don't understand. And then they'll be like, well, I'm just saying. And I'll be like, I know. And so if someone was on the show and they were like, man, you sure do suck at what you do. I'd just be like, look, I'm not here to tell you, like to insult you and be mean to you, man. I just want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
But we don't have to, you know, I'm not trying to.
I would love to go to their job and be like, you suck at what you do all day long.
It was really, really good. I mean, Nance did, I don't think he was like, the worst in terms of being able to respond, but he clearly, these people don't have answers. They don't know what they're talking about. You know?
No, especially, I think specifically in that conversation or debate or whatever you want to call it, like on the CRT stuff, like Ben was 1,000% right. Like you guys are trying to label it something else, but this is indeed what it is. And Ben is like from another planet and has the ability to almost photographically remember all of the details of these things and break down those arguments.
Watching that debate, I was just like, Ben Shapiro's got talent.
Mm.
When he was just rapid fire with the wit and the answers and the recall.
Yeah.
Damn.
Super smart guy.
Yeah.
Don't agree with him on some issues, but super
How
smart.
How dare you, sir.
Yeah, you better agree with him on everything.
That's my brother from another mother.
All right. I gotta read this one. Rob Ingram says, to touch on your convo from yesterday, or was it Monday, about the death sentence for rapists and pedos. Why should they live free while their victims live with a lifelong scar? I want to make sure. I feel like people aren't understanding because we got a bunch of super chats from people who don't understand. The reason I oppose the death penalty is because the government kills innocent people. To put it simply, like I asked Ian, how many innocent people are you willing to kill to make sure that those bad people also die? For me, the answer is zero. I am unwilling to take the chance that the state is sanctioned to kill innocent people because it might kill many of the bad people. Benjamin Franklin said it is better that 100 guilty persons escape than one innocent person suffer. If the bad person is locked in a steel box and can't leave, and the threat is zero, then I don't believe we should kill them. It's bad enough the state convicts innocent people. But if the number is one out of 1,000, out of every 1,000 bad people, really bad, evil people who are convicted, one innocent person is locked in a steel box, I still feel that is very, very bad that we have locked an innocent person in a steel box. But I will be damned if I'm going to be the person who says, I'd like to sign off on killing that person next, because those people are really bad too. So the way I see it is, we must neutralize the threat. If there is someone who is a violent, evil murderer, and it's to the degree where they're like, there is no rehabilitation, there is no releasing this person, they will kill again, we lock them in a steel box, and we throw away the key. That way, at least, at the very least, you don't have to answer to anyone as to why you took the, you were willing to kill even one innocent person. Because I believe, and I am not a very religious person, but I believe you are, that in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, that God said, if there's but one righteous person, I will not destroy the city.
Yeah, but after he found zero righteous people, he still destroyed the city.
That's exactly true. And that's why I'm saying, if I can see, if I'm watching someone commit an atrocity, I will act in self-defense of that person with the use of lethal force. If I see someone who has just gone on a rampage, they've killed several people, and they're planning on doing it again, I will absolutely apply lethal force in defense of others.
So,
But if there is a person, and the state comes to me and says, I am a representative of the state, trust me when I say this person is bad, I'll say, hell no.
But don't you think that part of the reason why the state, I think it is a good thing that the state does do this in certain circumstances, because you don't want armed vigilantes running around having cowboy justice?
Well, why would that be the case?
Because you have parents or families of people.
I'm saying when the guy's locked in a box. I'm saying if the guy's out there, then if someone abuses a child to an extreme degree and is running around and there's a threat to someone else and someone says, oh no, it's this guy and he's done these things and we know it definitively. I've watched it with my own eyes and we've seen videos and everyone knows. I must stop him for defense of others. It's a very different situation to the state coming to me and saying, trust me as we execute this person.
I wonder how people like Elizabeth Smart feel about that. Like, I would be very curious to actually talk to victims or Natalie Holloway's
people
mother,
seem to think I'm saying that we shouldn't kill bad people. What I'm saying is there is no circumstance in which I will trust the state that the person they are holding in front of me is the guilty person.
What is the statistics on that, though?
To me, it's irrelevant. If it was one, if there is 1,000 guilty people and one innocent person among the bunch, I'm not gonna sign off on that. I will not justify even one innocent person being killed for in the name of justice. It doesn't ring for me. I look at Blackstone. I look at this. Look, like you mentioned, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, God made sure the righteous people were gone. Mm-hmm. If I had omnipotence and I could know for sure what was in someone's heart and mind, it'd be a very different story. I'll put it very simply for everybody. If there was a child abuser and bestowed upon me was omniscience for only the fleeting moment that I could see the man in his mind replaying everything he did and confessing to it to me, I'd be like, pull the switch. Mm-hmm. We cannot allow this person to carry on their ideas, that the damage they've done to people. But the problem I have is with the state.
But don't you think that there are people in the state, and I know some of them, who have that, who sit in the room with those guys?
No.
You don't think that there are any
Kamala
decent
Harris.
People? Okay, well, let's not go there.
And she had
attacking David Delight and
they
for
would
like
have,
donors. But
they would have put Kyle Rittenhouse in prison for the rest of his life. Kamala Harris kept a man on death row because she didn't want to, because they had evidence that would have exonerated him, and mm-hmm. she didn't want to look at it. It's not even about the callousness. It's not even about the error. It's not even about them being like, we didn't realize he was innocent. It's about people like Kamala Harris literally being like, I don't care if he is innocent. Kill him. Kill him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, You've got really screwed up people working in government, and they are willing to say, these are the people who are willing to say, I don't care if I kill an innocent person so long as we execute more people. And Kamala Harris her office was denying parole to people because they wanted slave labor.
Uh-huh.
These people are evil. And I will not give them the power to kill because they will kill the innocent.
People in the chat are saying that this is the real pro-life position. to take. If you're going to have pro-life views on abortion, this is also should translate in this way.
So the difference between being pro-life and being in favor of the death penalty is that someone who is on death row has done something wrong.
Not
whereas
true.
We don't know yet.
You're literally...
If they are convicted of a crime, if they have been found guilty by a jury of their peers...
Yep.
Yes.
If there's irrefutable evidence that they have done what they've done...
Yeah.
A child, before even breathing oxygen, has done nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Agreed. You're the innocent person.
Innocent by default and incapable of any kind of voice.
If
and
you're upset at Fauci for the Beagles... then you should be anti-abortion.
And I want to point something out too. I said this earlier on another segment. One of the arguments I've often made is the challenge I have with anti-abortion legislation would simply just be where the government gets to be involved in
protecting the innocent.
Well, that I understand, but the issue is if there's a woman who's got, say, an ectopic pregnancy or something, to what degree do we say the government has to be involved? That doesn't mean that there's going to be a government agent walking in and signing checkboards, you know, a checklist of
To what degree is the government involved when a woman births a baby into the world? They really aren't, unless there's like a class action lawsuit.
This is quite literally the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that the left is willing to entertain almost every single circumstance that the government intervenes in medical decisions, even to the point where a doctor can't give you medication or you can't buy medication unless a doctor signs off on a pad.
Or you can't refuse medication.
Or you can't refuse medication. So I think the important point, and this is good, an important point for pro-life individuals, when the left says, I don't want the government involved in my private medical decisions, then why are you in favor of prescriptions? The prescriptions are quite literally, you can go to jail if you forge one.
Yep.
That is the government telling you are not allowed to take medication.
Yep.
If I say, Donald Trump says this medication is something I should take, I should be allowed to take it, right? If you on the left think you should not be allowed to, pharmacists should not give it to you, and the government should regulate that you can't have it unless it's signed off, then how is that any different from the government being involved in abortions?
Yeah.
The government is already involved. Euthanasia. You can't just go to a doctor and say, I'd like to have my life ended. The government says no.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my issue for the most part is just there's a very difficult line. As far as I'm concerned with that, I think people should be allowed to take the medications they choose and they want to, even if it's recreationally. I'm very libertarian. I don't like the government regulating all this stuff because Fauci doesn't know. He does not know what's right for us. That guy's been wrong too much. But it's tough moral questions. However, the point I was making earlier this morning and why I wanted to bring that up is that the reality is, I don't think most people are driven by principle, but many try to be. I think people just have moral lines where they're like, I don't know if I would be okay with that. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. I believe this is more, you see a phenomenon with the left where they're substantially, their principles are way lower than their emotion.
Mm.
And then on the right, you have emotion way lower than their principles.
Yeah.
But that still means there are going to be people on the right who will contradict their own principles because there are certain moral lines they won't cross. For the left, they'll cross many moral lines because they're driven by emotion.
And I think all sides will cross a moral line when they become about the person and not the principle.
Mm.
And I think, you know, you can get the staunchest anti-death penalty person in the world, have them witness one of these crimes, and they'll be the ones...
Have them go in and look at all the prosecutor's files.
And they'll be the one saying, I'll pull the lever. You let me do it. I'll come in.
Yep.
My challenge is, ultimately, on that position with the death penalty is state bad. State not smart, state not omniscient. You know, if the Lord himself came to me and said, this person did these things, then I'd be like, well, I mean, honestly, I'd say, you know, you pass judgment, not me.
Right.
But if it was for the safety of the community and we knew this person had forfeited their rights to due process and it was definitive, and in that case, I'm like, all right, well, I'm still not necessarily in favor of just killing someone if you've already subdued the threat, but I understand that.
You support jail, state enforced jail?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so the issue here is...
So taking someone's life away from them, but letting them have 3 square meals a day in a box is okay.
Through due process.
But ending their life through due process is though.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. And it's namely about, like... I understand a lot of people are like, look, these people are so evil, they should not be allowed to live. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm not the person who thinks I have a right to determine who has a right to live or not. If the threat is subdued, we contain it, then we can carry on.
A part of me thinks it should be up to the victims' families.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because there have been cases where you have, you know, guys who murdered teenage girls, and then there's like this incredible forgiveness and restoration and healing where the parents come in and they like minister to them and then they're friends and then they, you know, get him on a work release and like right, those kinds yeah. of, I'm not that good of a person. If it was my kid, I'd kill you myself. Like I would be like that dad in the Larry Nassar courtroom that jumped over the bench to beat the, you know, yeah. what out of him. And I think that a part of this is, I think it goes back to like America's roots and like good old fashioned, well, biblical Judeo-Christian values. And then the good old West of like, you done wronged my family. And like eye for an eye here.
So Rob Ingram says, I get your reasoning, but you can avoid the government executing innocent folks by ensuring they are guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt. Also show all proof in a televised trial. Mm-hmm. But beyond a reasonable doubt is exactly the opposite of definitively true. Beyond a reasonable doubt just means an average person says this is the most likely scenario. It is beyond a reasonable doubt. However, there are many people who have been convicted of crimes. There was one I was watching recently about, I can't remember who covered this. A security guard heard a gunshot, called the police. The police came and found a dead young woman. They blamed the security guard, and then they prosecuted and convicted him, and he went to prison for 18 years. Later, it turns out, the state knew that there was a gang that was robbing the neighborhood and was there, but they just wanted a prosecution.
Yep.
So beyond a reasonable doubt, yes. When they went to the jury and they said he was there, he was armed, he was, you know, the only person at the scene, and they said, here's exactly why. And the jury said, well, it's proven to me beyond a reasonable doubt. And the dude was innocent the whole time. And it took away they took away 18 years of his life. So I'm actually in favor of this. They typically don't pay people who are convicted who are innocent mm-hmm. because they say we didn't do anything wrong. I don't care. If the state wants to deprive someone of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and it turns out they were wrong, they should be responsible.
Absolutely.
Period.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So I actually think this. If someone is arrested for a crime and they're going to be held without bail, they should be put up in a standard, like, 3-star hotel room. Not literally a hotel. But their detainment should be a nice bed with turndown service, a TV, access to the internet. Because taking away someone's access to communications on the basis of presumption of a crime without proving it, I think is wrong.
Well, if you storm in a 3-star, you're going to get people committing crimes that are destitute because it's right. better than where the hellhole that they live.
Yeah.
These are the challenges. I would, sure, fine, whatever.
Some people will keep committing crimes to go back to jail because they feel more at home there.
No, because when you actually get convicted, then they bring you to the, you know, less nice place. My point is Kyle Rittenhouse was in jail for 3 months with no shower. And there, yeah, he should have been in a normal, I'm not saying give him a luxury condo. I'm saying give him a nice bed of TV and the internet because it turns out, guess what? He didn't do it. He was innocent. He was acting in self-defense. He was found not guilty by a jury of his peers. So with that being said, why did he spend 3 months locked down? There are people who go to jail as they get sentenced to 3 months for their crimes. Mm-hmm. Kyle Rittenhouse spent 3 months in jail and he was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
So he should have been.
I agree with that. There should be a payout for those types of people.
Yeah, I think they should pay him out.
The problem is then when you have the Casey Anthony type cases or the OJ Simpson, yeah. where you're like, where do you draw the line?
I'm going to say one more thing on this. Matt Armstrong says, ban all abortions in the U.S. It is genocide. My final thought before we go to the member segment, I believe if there is going to be a civil war in this country, I'm sorry, we're in a cold civil war. Mm-hmm. It's an information mm-hmm. war for sure. But if it becomes kinetic, I believe abortion will be the moral catalyst. Here's my timeline for potentialities. I'm not saying it's possible. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying Supreme Court has already signaled they'll overturn Roe v. Wade June 2022. At least that's what the left is saying. And that's what NBC and many other outlets are saying. Then you get a red wave in November and a bunch of Republicans in the Senate and Congress pass a federal abortion ban now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. But Joe Biden vetoes it. The 2024 election results in the Republicans saying the first thing I will do is I will sign this bill, you know, the ban mm-hmm. abortion bill.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll get blue states saying we will not abide by this federal law.
Well, yeah, you already have Newsom saying that California is going to be an abortion sanctuary.
And then you're going to get federal law enforcement by red states demanding it be ended because it's a moral it's a moral evil. But as I stated, Democrats and the left aren't going to storm red states to set up abortion clinics.
Right.
But red states, National Guard, law enforcement, feds will go in to shut down illegal abortion clinics should a law get passed. So that's my potential timeline. And if those things were to pass, then I believe you could end up with states trying to secede and things like that. So yeah. That's just my final thought on that one. But we got to go to the members only. We're going to start recording that members only segment. So go to timcast.com and become a member. It's in the top right corner. You can sign up. We're going to have a member segment coming up. And make sure to check out. You get access to a huge library of content from all of our past guests. So we greatly appreciate it. Help support all of our work. Smash that like button. Subscribe to this channel. You can follow the show at TimCastIRL. Follow us on Instagram. And you can follow me at TimCast. Do you want to shout anything out?
At Alicia Krauss on all social platforms. Alicia Krauss, not Alicia Krauss.
Alicia Krauss. Yep.
We're going to mess that up. And just yep. So people know, I have my own media organization. I released two videos today. One, a daily news video, and another very important one about talking points that you could share with your loved ones when you're meeting with them over the holiday season. You could watch that one exclusively on LukeUncensored.com. Hope to see some of you guys there. Thanks for having me.
You can always catch me at IanCrossland.net. Check out my social media accounts from there, and I will see you later.
Very wonderful, spirited lady conversation tonight. I really enjoyed your company, Alicia.
Thanks.
You guys may follow me on Twitter at Sour Patch Lids.
We will see all of you over at TimCast.com. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.